about.
You gotta put it in perspective. 16-12-1. Hello.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
VIG.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, is Dow Doe. Doe Toe. Kevin and Bean, I just don't know what the hell to tell you guys, man. I just got back from a damn buffet, and I went to Todai Buffet. You know how much they charge me? About $25, Kevin Bean. But I make plenty of money, so I can afford any food. But at least I'm pretty good. I'm trying to watch my weight, Kevin Bean. I'm about 220. I'm almost freaking about 220. I really need to get down to 190.
You know, everything is not an anecdote. You have to discriminate. You choose things that are funny or mildly amusing or interesting. You're a miracle. Your stories have none of that. They're not even amusing accidentally. By the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
And now,
anytime somebody got to slap some grease on your behind to stick something in you, there's something wrong with that.
Our feature presentation.
I think I'm good with that.
You're on board?
I agree with him.
Good advice to start the week, I think.
Yeah.
In case anyone was wondering.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's an all-new week. It's Monday morning.
We have some lines open. What's up with our people? Give us a call for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew for a Monday at 1-800-520-1067. Monday's always very exciting because we unveiled the new prize. So we'll find out what you get when you call to tell us what you want to talk about. So why all the hate for Taylor Swift, you guys?
Who?
People who are pissed off at her winning Album of the Year at the Grammys last night.
I didn't know people were pissed off.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't hate her because she's hot, first
right.
of all. But second
well,
of all...
Well, it's not your kind of music.
It's not my
she's
kind
hot
of music.
She's hot in a squinty way, she's
yeah.
hot.
Yeah.
She's no Carrie Underwood. Don't get me wrong.
Right. But it's just, I mean, the internet just explodes, whatever. Taylor Swift is one of those polarizing artists that some people are really, really into, and lots of other people go, well, she can't sing, and she's not pretty, and she's annoying, and she's awkward, and she's blah, blah, blah. There's so many people yeah. who are just down on her,
those
too.
Those are girls.
You think?
What?
Those are
she
girls.
She can sing.
Exactly. The people who are saying she sucks, and she's ugly, and she can't sing, she doesn't deserve it, those are chicks.
Because they're jealous?
Yeah, exactly. Because their 18-year-old boyfriend talks about how hot Taylor Swift is or whatever, and they're upset because they're fat and plain.
Well, I had not noticed that breakdown by sex, but maybe that's where some of it is coming from. But she sure has a lot going on for a 20-year-old, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, no kidding.
That is stunning.
It is crazy when you think that she's just 20 and now she's won the Album of the Year Grammy. She might as well just do away with herself at this point. I mean,
really? She should take her own life now?
Well, I'm thinking about it. I mean, hasn't she peaked? Is there anywhere left to go?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'd like to see things fall apart. I'd like to see, you know, an eventual run to porn, but. But yeah,
I'd like to see the celebrity rehab.
It's about as big as it gets. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For her, I mean, she's never going to have a better night than she had last night. So what's the point of going on?
She should just kill herself.
Wow. I think so. She's mission accomplished. That's what I'm saying.
Most people would say, wow, she really accomplished something early. She should be very proud. Bean's like, take your life. It's
yeah,
over.
You're done.
Well, come on. There's a downside to every story. You know that.
Sure. And you'll find it. Guaranteed.
All right, well, we got got some highlights of the Grammys, if you can call them that, coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, let's take your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067. For Kevin and Bean's What It Do Now.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
So, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
Well, it's the West Coast premiere of the 2010 NASCAR season, and for that we have a pair of tickets to the Auto Club 500 coming up on Sunday, February 21st at the Auto Club Speedway. That's your prize for Kevin Bean's What to Do Nephew. Speaking of the Grammys, why don't we start with Chris? He's on line 3, calling about one of the opening performance on the show last night.
Hey, Chris.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
I just wanted to say, is it just me or did Lady Gaga look like a mix between Marilyn Manson and Christina Aguilera?
Yeah, it's pretty accurate. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's her thing, is she wants to shock you with whatever outfit she's wearing. I mean, that's 100% of her performances.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm kind of tired of her. You look at her in the crowd, you just go, okay, you're trying too hard. Stop it.
Yeah.
She was not looking good last night.
No.
Elton John was looking better.
Just barely, though.
The thing with her is, how does she look?
Yeah, well.
What the?
It's all about not seeing how she actually looks.
Yeah. It would have been so shocking if she had just come out with just regular hair and makeup and a little dress. Would that have just been the most rebellious thing she could have done?
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
It's kind of a cute little average dress, and then she just comes out and everybody goes, where'd Lady Gaga go?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Thank you for the call, Chris. We appreciate it. Let's go to Jerry. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, it's Kevin and Bean. What's up, Lisa May?
Hello. What did you?
Hey, did you guys see a Pink performance?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see what she was wearing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
no. Cat suit? She started out in some kind of a nun suit, and then she took that off, and then she was wearing a cat suit, and then she ended up soaking wet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That was great.
That was great.
Someone's happy.
Yeah.
It was incredibly athletic, that's for sure. I mean, she wasn't strapped in. She didn't have something around her waist holding her up. I mean, she literally was just hanging off of that fabric, and she had to wrap her legs around it. It looked like it would have been awfully easy for something to go horribly wrong if she's all slippery and wet up there.
Hey, I thought she was going to be dizzy from getting off of that.
Dizzy? Yeah, because they were spinning around in a circle? Yeah. I don't think I can sing normally, let alone spin me around.
That's impressive, yeah.
Yeah, she looked like she was a member of Cirque du Soleil.
She absolutely did. And the truth is, by the way, with her spinning around like that and still being able to sing, no one ever has an excuse to lip sync again. If she can sing while she does that, I don't care how much you're dancing, you should be able to sing.
That is a good point.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that was great. That was great.
All right, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go, let's change topics and go to Vatch-E. Vachi, Vachi.
Hey, what it do?
Vachi.
Vachi, good day.
Vachi. What's going on?
Not much, man. I just want to talk about how great the Super Bowl is going to be coming up, man. You got Archie Manning's son versus old team. You know, it's going to be, I think, one of the best of all time. And, you know, it's just... I can't wait to see it this Sunday.
I hope it lives up to that, because it does look like it's going to be a good matchup. But for the most part, the Super Bowls are 50-50. I mean, sometimes you know they're over within 5-10 minutes.
But I don't know about this one, man. I think this one's going to be great.
I agree. It could be one of the best of all time because of the offenses and the people involved. And
right. I think it's definitely going to be one of the highest scoring, you know. But I'm just trying to, you know, stay occupied while driving to work early this morning, man. It's ridiculous.
What's
but,
ridiculous?
What is ridiculous?
Yeah, being up at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
it's really too much this morning.
Yeah,
but,
it's not... You normally get up at this time?
No, normally around 7, but I actually broke my apparatus this morning, so started off pretty bad.
Is that code? Code for penis?
Yep.
Okay.
No, actually, it's something else. But
okay. All right.
Yep. Oblique.
All right. Vague guy.
Yeah, but I definitely think the Super Bowl is going to be one.
Yeah, we hear the Super Bowl is going to be good. Okay, thanks for the call, Brandon.
I hope you're right.
What do you guys? I don't want to talk to him ever again. But what do you suppose his apparatus is? If it's something else.
Something to do with his truck.
I don't know.
Oh, you think it's an auto mishap? Maybe?
Yeah, something he's got to get fixed before he can work.
Speaking of the Super Bowl, let's talk to Alex on line 2, calling the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Hey, Alex, welcome to the program. What it do?
Yo, what it do? What it do, Lisa, man?
What it do?
Hey, there was a, I heard on the radio this morning, there was an ad on Craigslist for a guy in Louisiana, and he was willing to trade his left nut for Super Bowl tickets.
Wait, that wasn't just some kind of a euphemism or something? He was actually going to give one up?
Yeah, and he actually, like, describes it on the ad. He's like, oh, well-traveled, 22-year-old nut, produced 2 kids, like, larger than usual. Like, it was ridiculous.
Do you think there are people out there who have Super Bowl tickets but need a nut? Because I don't know if that exists. And you go, hey, I got a Super Bowl ticket, sure don't need your nut.
Yeah, I mean, I like football, but, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
And the truth is, what would you do with the nut? I mean, would you just put it in a jar and leave it on your mantle?
Well,
I mean,
that's what you do with the nut, Bean.
Beanwood. You'd add a third. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, why not, right?
Just pack it full.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that idea.
You touch it.
All right. Thank you, Alex.
That would be weird, by the way, if you went to a doctor and asked them to remove your perfectly healthy testicle. I wonder if you could find somebody to do that.
Yeah, that's a good question.
I wouldn't think in this country, and then but you could go right over the border.
I would say, why? And you go, Super Bowl tickets. And you go, okay.
Oh, all right.
I hear you, man.
I'll take it out. No worries. Let's say good morning to DeJuan, everybody.
DeJuan.
Hi, DeJuan.
From Los Angeles, California.
What's up, Kevin and Bean? Hey, Lisa.
Good morning.
What's going on?
Yeah, I saw the Michael Jackson tribute on the Grammys in 3D. It was awesome.
Was it?
Yeah.
I didn't have the 3D glasses, so it just looked like a blurry mess of a bunch of people I don't care about singing a terrible song.
Yeah, I wish Michael Jackson's spirit was on Earth yesterday.
Yeah, that would have been would have made it better, huh?
Yeah, I can feel it.
Yeah, I hear. You can feel his spirit?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And
okay.
Also, too, I've been thinking about Jessica and Laura when I'm going to see them again.
90210.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I think these are friends.
Oh, these are his friends.
They?
Okay.
Aren't these actually, these are people you actually know, not people on TV, right, DeJuan?
No, the people that I know, yeah.
Okay. Okay. And why don't you give them a call if you want to see them? It seems like you've been missing them a lot lately.
Yeah, I don't have their number, though.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Can you Facebook or MySpace them?
They got MySpace. I know Jessica is on your MySpace page. Mm-hmm. I know she's friends with you, Psycho Mike, and other K-Rock people.
Interesting. All right.
Well, then maybe you should get in touch. That's what I'm suggesting, is go ahead and reach on out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jess and Laura, if you're out there, please contact me.
Correct.
Or just talk to them on the radio.
Right.
Because that works too.
Because yeah. There's an excellent chance they're listening, waiting for a message from you.
542.
Oh.
All right, DeJuan, you're the best. Thank you.
Later.
Bye now.
Later.
Good luck. Why wouldn't he just, if he knows where they are on the internet, why doesn't he just reach out to them that way?
I don't know. Mike, you know them? What is this about?
I don't. He's saying they're friends of mine on Facebook, but... I'm guessing that he's maybe not supposed to talk to them.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking,
too. That's why he's having such a hard time reaching them through other avenues.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to hear from him?
They might have blocked him or something.
That's been a problem in the past, remember?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's their loss then.
A little repetitive. Overzealous.
Overzealous is a good word, yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Hey, everyone. Kevin's going to give us his take on the situation. Let's listen up.
The situation is going to be on the show?
What?
So, beautifulpeople.com.
Yes.
Kicking off fat people.
As well they should.
And that's funny to us.
Beautiful. Is this a dating website? What is this?
I think
yes, it is.
Yeah,
or is it just look how beautiful I am website?
Well, it's both. It's both. But apparently over the holidays, a bunch of people gain weight. 5-6 pounds.
5 or 6 pounds. Yeah. I cannot stand.
And then they just, they just kick them out. You can't be a part of this anymore. You're 5 pounds heavier than you were before the holidays.
Spencer's watching this.
Yeah. So we're going to talk to them today. We are going to, of course, have Grammy highlights, if you can call them that.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to talk to Dua Veed. He's one of my favorite people in the world.
Dua Veed's life is not going well.
Well, it's not if... If you can judge by his phone call to our producer, Alex, on Thursday or Friday last week, he apparently is very, very upset that he cannot put his mannequin girlfriend back together.
But I thought he was so happy that they left Seattle and moved back to Los Angeles, where people are more forgiving and understanding about his unusual relationship.
Right, but that's not the other people that he's worried about. Apparently, he can't attach the legs to the torso anymore. There's a screw missing or something like that.
You can't get the
part. There's a screw missing, all right, in that relationship.
So, so we're going to talk to him and see if we can help him out.
Okay.
We're going to send Mike over him.
Yeah.
Somehow make it better, although those two things are
Mutually exclusive.
Yeah. Grammy Roundtable audio.
Oh, yeah.
Who'd you get? Did you get Rihanna?
Yeah.
All right. Who else?
Ludacris, Justin Bieber, the biggest star
nice.
In the world.
Wow.
You name it. The Kardashians, Glendale, Glendale.
We also have a new game called Who Is Ralph on Family Guy? We've been trying to play now for 17 weeks, and I think we're going to actually get to it.
Okay.
And in studio, we have Adam Sessler from G4's X Play. Nope. That's Adam Carolla.
I got him.
Very different Adam. So that's coming up this morning as well. A quick break and we'll come back with Ralph. Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q and it is 5:54.
Hello. Hello. It's Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show. The night after the Grammys. Highlights from the telecast last night. Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat right now.
Yeah. You guys were talking earlier about
where Taylor Swift can go from here.
Yeah.
Now that she's had so much success.
Mm-hmm.
She might want to learn how to sing live.
Yeah, that would help.
That could be a goal.
She wasn't?
That would help.
No, she was. That was the problem.
Oh, it wasn't
she
good?
She may have to learn how to sing live.
She's a bad singer?
Is what I'm saying. She wasn't good. If that's what you're looking for in a performance.
Really?
She was off key. I mean, technically, if you want to be on key.
Right. If you don't mind flatness, I guess she was fine. But I'm saying, as a singer, you usually shoot for not flat.
Right.
Yeah.
From what I understand. I don't know much about the music industry, but they always struck me as flat was something you wanted to avoid.
Right.
Right?
Right.
On
the
key.
The scale of...
Is something right. that you aspired to.
Certainly a goal, yeah.
I'm saying she could shoot for that.
Right.
Maybe now that she's had so much success, she could learn how to sing. I'm saying maybe she want to invest the time in that project.
I like it.
I do too. Although, how great was the Broadway cast of American Idiot and Green Day?
Yeah.
I didn't like it at all.
I didn't either.
You know, the 21 Guns they did together?
Not even a little bit.
Wow, I thought it was
would have been better without the cast members and just with Green Day.
I thought it was great. That was one of those great moments where I love choral singing when they were all doing it together. I really thought it was terrific. So, interesting show last night. Let's talk about the top 10 movies at the box office, shall we? Hey, what a surprise. Avatar's number one.
No
what?
Way. No
really?
Way.
Yeah. For the seventh week in a row, Avatar is number one. The top 10 movies at the box office, $30 million it made this weekend.
Wow.
Edge of Darkness was the runner-up with just $17 million. Made it number two at the box office this weekend, the new Mel Gibson movie. I guess some people don't want him to go away forever.
No.
Like Sam Rubin.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out.
When in Rome with Kristen Bell. She came in at number three with $12 million. The Tooth Fairy was fourth. The Book of Eli came in at number five. Legion was number six. The Lovely Bones, Sherlock Holmes, The Squeakquel of Alvin and the Chipmunks, and It's Complicated, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Here is further proof that Kevin is wrong.
And we need that?
We do. Kevin, of course, says the old people are no fun and should die.
Certainly, yes.
Not this weekend, my friends. Mm. Great, great old people stories. Rip Torn. One of my favorite actors. Of course, you know him from Men in Black, and you know him from the Larry Sanders Show with Gary Shandling on HBO.
He's great.
Great actor. 78 years old. Arrested this weekend for breaking into a bank with a loaded gun while loaded.
Really?
No.
Drunk ass Rip Torn arrested by Connecticut police for busting into a bank carrying a loaded gun.
All right.
78. Suck it, Kevin.
All right, I'm in
Suck
on that.
Suck it.
There's exceptions.
Suck it, bitch.
And he's certainly one of them.
He rules at 78.
Yeah.
Breaking into a bank with a gun loaded off his ass. Rules.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
best part of the story, Kevin? He thought he was at home.
He thought he was home?
That's what he told the cops.
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine he really thought he was home since he doesn't have an ATM in his living room.
I don't know what he was doing, but it's a hilarious story.
I love that.
He's a really good actor, too,
yeah,
right?
He is. Yeah.
I think he might have a little drinking problem.
How dare you, Lisa? You got a drinking problem.
I don't drink enough.
Exactly.
That's my
he
problem.
He knows exactly how to do it. You've got the problem. You put sugar in wine, for God's sakes. You're the one with the drinking problem.
He does.
More old, cool people news. Ron Wood.
Yeah.
Legendary rocker, Rolling Stones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In rehab for the eighth time. Congratulations,
wow.
Ron Wood. Checked himself into a London clinic on Friday after Mick Jagger and his daughter and other family members staged an intervention and got him into rehab. It's been a year since the last time he was in rehab, so he was overdue.
He goes about every 9 months, does he?
Yeah. He's,
it's really just a cleanse for him.
Yeah, sure. So he can start again?
Yeah.
Etta James, legendary blues singer, 72-year-old Etta James.
Right.
Now what?
Just checked herself into rehab this weekend for her her painkiller addiction. 72, popping pills, showing mad skills, singing the blues.
To pay the bills.
To pay the bills. So, 72-year-old Etta James in rehab. Old people rocking it, Kevin. Rocking it.
Kidding.
All right.
Old people bringing it this weekend.
All right.
All right, then. Young people in the news, too. Taylor Momsen from Gossip Girl.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he or she is good.
She is very attractive. 16-year-old star of Gossip Girl. Can often be seen cavorting around New York City in the taverns and speakeasies.
Sure.
Swilling down the bathtub gin. She is coming under fire from a group called Foundation for a Smoke-Free America because there was a photo of her having a cigarette recently published on the internet, and they are coming at her with both barrels loaded. She is sending the wrong message, they claim, to American youth, and they want her to step up and renounce her behavior, smoking the evil weed of tobacco.
When did smoking become about as bad as being Hitler?
No, you know, it pretty much is
still
now.
Still legal, so everyone's got to shut up.
Yeah, but
that's what I said.
That's crazy how everybody just starts going nuts when they see somebody smoking.
I know.
I mean, I guess there's some concern. She has very young, impressionable fans. They see her doing it. They might think it's cool, and they might pick it up, too. I mean, that's. I mean, I think their intention is good. She is 16, you said, right?
Yeah.
So it is not legal for her to smoke. So I can understand why people are trying to put the kibosh on it.
But she's 16 on Gossip Girl, and if that's your role model, then you have issues.
If you're, absolutely.
If you're using someone from the CW, anyone from the CW as your role model, you are effed up beyond saving. Evolution. Bye-bye. Yeah. Thin the herd.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Smoke up, Johnny, if that's the case. The quicker you're gone, the better. Today's celebrity birthdays, Sherman Hemsley.
Yeah!
Speaking of cool old people, Mr. Jefferson, he's moving on mother effing up to the east side. He is 72 years old today. Sherilyn Fenn. Ooh. You remember her?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. From Twin Peaks, 45 years old today. Exene Cervenka, of the legendary rock and roll band X. She's 54 years old today. Comedian Pauly Shore is 42 years old today. Drummer Patrick Wilson of Weezer is 41. Michael C. Hall, Dexter, 6 feet under. By the way, I ran into the exec producer of Dexter over the weekend.
Yeah.
And we were chatting, and he said Michael is doing well, and he's really recovering excellently, and he's even going to do a little independent film before he goes back to do the next season of Dexter.
No,
so he's feeling well, and he's working, so apparently cancer got his ass kicked by Dexter. He's 39 years old today. And Lauren Conrad of The Hills in Laguna Beach celebrates her 20th.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. What's up with one of our favorite Kevin and Bean listeners, Duavid, and his plastic girlfriend? We've got an update from him coming up later this hour. And what's going on the cable channel that's all Steven Seagal all the time? We'll tell you about that coming up, too. First, though, Kevin, how'd you enjoy watching your first ever Grammys last night?
Well, usually you manage to avoid it because you hate it so much, but I know tune in last night.
Because they try to jam in every type of music and every type of producer, and a lot of the stuff isn't really TV friendly.
Yeah.
But it started off pretty well with Stephen Colbert. I thought that was a pretty decent way to start.
I did not even know they were dating. I love that about the Grammys. You never know who they're going to put together. I can't wait to see who we're going to get tonight. What combinations? Neil Young with Placido Domingo? Maybe Beyonce with Sasha Fierce? Or what about Pink, Green Day, and the Black Eyed Peas? The Pink-Eyed Green Peas. Oh, you know who I'd love to see on stage together just once? Adam Lambert and Any Sense of Personal Restraint. Could happen. Anything could happen at the Grammys.
All right, so that was funny.
Yeah, they didn't have a host. He was the closest thing they had just in the kind of some opening monologue remarks. But, yeah, I love Stephen Colbert. He's always fun.
But I do have, and I want to be serious here for a second, I do have one issue with the Grammys this year. I don't know why Susan Boyle isn't here. She achieved something huge this year. Sure, Justin Timberlake may have brought the sexy back. But this year, Susan Boyle sent it away again.
Ouch.
Goodbye, sexy.
Ouch.
We're going with really good singing this year.
That's tough. Yeah. You think? Then we were talking about the Green Day performance, American Idiot, the play, the Broadway play. They came out and sang with Green Day. And I didn't find it all that fascinating. I would rather just listen to Green Day.
Sure.
But. Like a Glee version.
They sound great, though.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
But you know that's right up my alley.
Yeah, I know. I just think Green Day, First of all, I love Green Day. Second of all, that song might be the weakest on the album, I think. I'm not a huge fan. So then you bring in the Glee treatment of it, and then...
You're out.
You just go, all right, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Because the Grammys, they like to promote that they have anything can happen, who's going to be paired with who, and it doesn't always work. As a matter of fact, most of the time it doesn't work. So, and here's my question for you, B.
Yes.
When is it that we became... I thought I was watching the Country Music Awards last night. It was unbelievable the amount of country.
That is it's a popular form of music in this country. The Grammys are, you know, not just for you or not just for people you know. It's for people all across America, and they buy and listen to a lot of country music.
Like this.
And radio.
I mean, if you're running a network and you're trying to get people to watch your show, you want to put bands on that some people are going to tune in for. And that's, you know, a lot of people out there are fans of some of this music.
Yeah. This?
I think absolutely.
What is this? What's happening? Don't they have, do they or do they not have a Country Music Award show?
Well, they do.
All right. So move on. Keep it over there. Keep your country music to yourselves. I don't need it. I don't need any country. I'll tell you that.
What would they have done without Taylor Swift, though? She's a huge country star.
Taylor Swift came out. She sang, and then they brought out the goat lady, Stevie Nicks.
She does sing a little bit like a goat. That's true.
For a 700-year-old song that no one needs to hear again, ever. But at least she was off key. When you watch this, don't you go, man, all right, listen to this. Wow. Yeah, we don't need that, ever.
That was not good.
We don't ever need that song again, even if they sing it well.
I got to tell you, she sounds the same as she did when that song was a hit, though. I mean, she's always sung like that. That's just how Stevie Nicks sounds.
Yes.
She's always been
Stevie Nicks, yes. She's a goat lady. Kevin nailed it. Wow. She is a goat lady. She's not good at all.
No.
I don't remember when the Grammys decided that they were going to give a Lifetime Achievement Award to everyone over 50, but they did. And they announced Lifetime Achievement Awards all night, like every other thing.
I think they do five a year, I think is what they do, and they spread them out throughout the show.
One of the last of the original acoustic Delta blues players, David Honeyboy Edwards, was first recorded by Alan Lomax in Clarksdale, Mississippi in 1942. A living link to blues legend Robert Johnson.
P-Time. That's what that is. That's P-Time. Because who's got time for that, for God's sakes?
Although you should be glad that in recent years they don't allow them to come up and give a speech anymore. They don't show a clip package anymore like they used to. I mean, if you get a Lifetime Achievement Award now, like Leonard Cohen did last night, you pretty much get the short shrift. It's nothing more than really a shout-out on the TV show.
Which is fine, and still too much. I mean, I could look that up, right? If I want to know who the Lifetime Achievement Awards are, I could look it up. I don't need LL Cool J to come out there and tell me why this guy's great. And why was Roberta Flack on my TV show? What year is this Grammys?
Well, I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to represent the long history of Grammy award winners. Like they have Stevie Nicks come out with Taylor Swift. They had Roberta Flack come out with Maxwell. I think they're just trying to create one-of-a-kind duet opportunities that you're, like they advertise, you're not going to see anywhere else but on the Grammys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, how I wish I never met you.
Another singer that can't sing on key anymore. By the way.
Oh, my God. What's happening?
I don't know. Is anyone practicing anymore?
Wow. Roberta Flack, who was a very popular singer in the early 1970s. Lisa, you got to see her face now. It looks like she was in some sort of an accident and they had to put it back together.
Really?
It's crazy how tight her face is and how creepy she looks.
Oh, we ran into her at the round table, Dave and I, last week, and it's even worse in person.
She's freaky looking, right?
Yeah. And I'm a huge fan, and I was still like, oh, man, look what happened to Roberta.
But at least she can't sing anymore, so she's got that going for her.
Okay. So
maybe I was there, maybe, was there anything you liked on the show?
Maybe I watched the wrong Grammys. Maybe they had like a flashback Grammys from the early 70s or something that I somehow recorded. And then there was a little more of this.
That was a tribute to Les Paul. That was Jeff Beck and Imelda May doing a Les Paul Les Paul song because he died recently and he was the inventor of the electric guitar, so they wanted to give him a little bit of a shout out on the Grammys.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't know that.
No, but I'm saying, listen to this. This doesn't make a good TV show. Why don't you have artists that use Les Paul? Why don't you have them talk about him or something?
Yeah. This is the music you hear in the parking lot at the Kentucky Derby. Like, yeah. Guys are, like, drinking, getting ready to go in. This is not Grammy music.
Really, it just seemed like every single song that they had was completely just old and retread, and it just was not good.
That song was a big hit for Les Paul and his wife, Mary Ford, in the 1950s.
Right.
So,
that's my point.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that song doesn't translate too well to the 21st century audience.
So, Quentin Tarantino comes out, and he's going to introduce Drake and Eminem and Lil Wayne.
Okay.
And we need to cut back on his coffee.
Here, with Blink 182's Travis Barker behind him on drums, are three men who prove hip-hop is forever. Drake, good job winning tonight. Eminem and Lil Wayne.
What's happening now? What's that? What's going
He's
on right
pumped,
there?
Pumped, man.
And then, Bean, was it just satellite problems, or were they really dropping out full minutes of the song because of language?
That's exactly what happened.
That's what it was?
Really?
There's just too much swearing, which you'd think that the guys who sing that song would know that can't air and it's going to sound crappy, but boy, did it. We lost half the song.
It was the amount that they left out, though. I mean, they couldn't have been cursing the whole time. Here, listen to this. This is in real time, and this is how long the break was.
Boy, this crooked mind of mine got him all shook and scared. The look in my eyes, I stole that clock. I took the time, and I came up. Game up, better be careful when you bring my name up. This fame, that ain't what I came to claim, because the game ain't going to be the same on the day that I leave it. But I swear.
I got to be like a word or two.
Really?
It's a
how many words
trying to
is he
be?
Saying? It's not like it ruined the yes it did. This is the one that I thought would be the best, because I love Eminem. But for some reason, they really did feel the need to just drop out, you know, an hour and a half every time they said a curse word.
Yeah.
And that completely ruined it.
They dropped out the whole sentence,
they didn't
whatever
even
that
try.
Word was in. Huh?
How'd you like to be the guy with your finger on the button, though, with a live telecast, and you've only got a 7 or 10 or whatever it is, second delay, and you have to try to catch all the words in that song?
Well,
pretty tough job.
I guess, but he did it by just dropping out entire verses.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not sure that exactly helps. And then, really, I thought the highlight of the night is always the highlight of the night. And that, at the Grammys, it's really fantastic that they do this, because I think people really, really, really need to hear from Neil Portnow. From that dude.
He's the president of the Grammys.
Yeah.
I didn't know who that was.
Yeah. And every time at the Grammys, they make, you know, big introduction, Neil Portnow, and then he comes out and he starts talking, and it's just brutal. I don't know why.
You know,
does no one say to him,
have
hey,
stopped doing that.
You know why?
Because it's boring.
He's not,
it's boring,
a,
right.
not a good speaker.
Drake, Lil Wayne, and Eminem give a rap performance.
Oh, sorry, that's the announcer talking about.
One of the last of the original acoustic Delta blues players, David Hunt.
Heard could, that?
Wish I could find that clip.
Oh, how no.
Okay. What
on.
Happened?
Just go back through all the clips.
Please welcome the president and CEO of the Recording Academy, Neil Portnow.
every year everybody acts like they're excited to see him, and he steps up to the microphone. He just starts droning on about the recording industry and challenges.
One thing that remains the same is the unwavering commitment of our music community in times of crisis.
I can't tell if what he's saying is important or not because the delivery puts me to sleep.
Yeah, he's pretty dull.
He's not doing himself any favors, even though he's talking about good stuff.
Yeah. And once again, our talented artists are there to offer help and inspiration as the world mobilizes to help the people of Haiti.
He's up there a long time, too.
At the Academy, we're thankful for many milestones
this
year.
To me.
Our fantastic Grammy Museum is 1 year old, and thanks to a generous donation from music icon Clive Davis, the museum's state-of-the-art soundstage will now be known as the Clive Davis Theater. The Latin Grammys turned 10.
But eventually, he did get around to his annual lecture on not downloading, right?
Oh, yeah.
10 years of the
Grammys. Yeah, he pretty much berated everybody for downloading
right
illegally. Yeah,
20 years.
These people work hard. You need to give them your money, and then I don't know. This to me is please turn the channel. Please turn the channel. Please don't watch this show right now.
Yeah, I don't know why they continue to do that either. Like as Lisa mentioned, other shows have gotten away from having the president of the respective academies come out and speak because no one wants to see that. No one.
I don't want to. Be this predictable, but really didn't like anything. Did you, Bean? Really, just like if you look at every single thing that happened and you put them in a list, I would go, nope.
There weren't a lot of highlights for me this year either. I mean, it's fun to see Beyonce's boobs. I mean, there were some things that I was glad I saw. I enjoyed Pink's performance, for instance, upside down Aquaman act.
That was good.
But in general, it's 3.5 hours of your life that you wish you could have back. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. But usually there's something. Usually you just go, well, at least there was. For me, it was Stephen Colbert. And from that moment on, went right downhill.
I'll tell you what I thought was good.
Yeah.
The announcer.
The announcer
cut right
good.
Through.
She's a good announcer. Yeah. Yeah, they made the right decision.
They did,
in that.
Didn't they?
No question about that. But anyway, some highlights, lowlights. I found
lights.
It super, super boring. Just boring.
Yeah.
So more right. Bluegrass, that's what you need?
Oh, dear God.
Apparently, Kevin, with all the excitement over watching the Grammys last night, apparently we missed the Steven Seagal marathon on Spike TV. Apparently that happened.
Yeah. Have they quit? Have they given up at Spike? Steven Seagal?
That is a really good question.
Because they did a marathon all day. I think it was Hard to Kill and Above the Law, and then there was Out for Justice. Always three words, always someone dying.
Right.
Today You Die, Fight of Fury, and then there was a new one called Driven to Kill.
Driven to Kill. I looked this one up. We're getting ready to go to Mr. Seagal on the phone. Get ready for bullets, blood, and bodies hitting the ground because international action superstar Steven Seagal is back.
Yeah.
How did we miss Driven to Kill? Is this direct to DVD or what's the deal with this new movie? So we thought we'd find out with Steven Seagal, who's back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Steven, how are you, man?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, we're doing great. Last time we talked to you was about your reality series, Lawman, and now you're back with a new film, too.
That's right. Steven Seagal. That's right.
Right.
I'm back.
Right.
That's right. Steven Seagal.
Right. You're back.
Back on Spike TV.
Tell us about Driven to Kill.
Which is appropriate because I drove the first Spike into the Pacific Railway.
You did?
I don't think that was like 150 years ago.
Yes. Yes, it was. I'm 200 years old.
That's not possible.
I'm a Shaolin Buddhist priest. I'm also a lawman in Louisiana.
Right. Sure. I've seen
right,
that.
I've seen that. Yeah.
Who dat? Who'd that be a lawman down there? That's right. Steven Seagal.
Do you, you're rooting for the Saints in the Super Bowl this weekend, Steven?
I'm sorry, who?
The Saints? You said who, Dad? I thought maybe you were a New Orleans Saints fan?
Sure.
Well, what's Driven to Kill all about besides bullets, blood, and bodies? Because frankly, the release of this one escaped us.
I play a man who's driven
right.
to kill.
Right.
I've got a driver.
Right.
And I'm in the back seat, and he drives me, and...
And what do you do?
I kill.
You kill.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a talented blues singer and artist.
I know. You fancy yourself that.
I do.
Yeah.
And I invented the fork.
That's also not true.
I don't think that was
I kill with a fork when I'm driven to the place where I kill.
It sounds like maybe you haven't seen the movie or don't really remember the plot very much.
I play Poseidon. God of the Sea.
No, that doesn't have anything to do with this.
I turn
the KGB into a collection of bobbleheads. And then I'm the pilot for Air Force One, I think, towards the end of
okay.
the film.
I doubt all of that, to tell you the truth.
I think I'm...
Oh, no. No.
Now, you don't need to sing, Stephen.
I'm driven to kill! And...
Is that it?
When I kill you, that's because I've been driven to it. I don't want to kill anybody, but I've been driven to kill.
So it's not really your fault.
Wow. Is that a finished song, or are you just making that up?
Oh, no, it's my new record.
Your new record?
Yeah, it's gone platinum already.
Has it?
It was released this morning.
Nope.
It will be.
It will be.
I'm a renowned psychic.
Okay, you're a renowned psychic. Yes. All right, yeah. You're
not. I knew you were going to say that.
You're not really any of this stuff.
I'm the president of the Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences Emmy Grammy organization.
There's no such thing as that organization.
And so they gave me all the awards last night.
You weren't up for any awards.
Did you see my Grammy award I got last night?
No, you didn't win a Grammy.
You weren't blues new blues artist.
You weren't there, and they didn't give that award away.
Oh, I got a Grammy!
You didn't get a Grammy, Stephen.
Just after the telecast went off the air, they gave me the biggest Grammy they ever made. Took seven guys to carry it.
Wow.
Because it's a special Grammy given just to me. And Taylor Swift got one, too, and now we're dating.
You're not dating Taylor Swift.
Very much in love.
You're like 50. You're a fat 50-year-old.
Taylor Swift and I.
No.
I don't think that's true
we just
either.
Broke up.
No. Okay, wow. Things move quickly in your world, don't
that's
they?
That's right. Let's go.
All right, Stephen.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Ralph has the Showbiz Beat coming up again in minutes. We're supposed to talk to Dua Veed, Kevin and Bean listener with the mannequin. I thought that dude was homeless or something. How do we even call him? How do we even get him on the show when we do talk to him? Is he calling us from a payphone or something?
He has a cell phone.
Mike can tell you that because Mike, Psycho Mike, married Dua Veed and the mannequin.
You married Dua Veed?
Yeah. We have a very close relationship.
He was the pastor. He was the justice of the peace, if you will.
That's correct. Lisa's exactly right. He has a cell phone. It's one of those prepaid deals, but he makes sure he has that on him and it's always the bill is always taken care of because... It's very important. That's his only way people can get in touch with him.
Right.
And
right.
He's a world traveler, Dua Veed, somehow.
He really is.
I'm being serious. He's been to like 50 countries.
Really?
Yeah.
Who else is trying to get in touch with him besides us, though?
Yeah, you get the idea there's a long list or just you?
I don't know. Dua Veed's a very interesting guy. I mean, as most people who marry mannequins are. But he's one of those guys who he could tell you anything and you'd believe it. Because he's, you know, he could tell you he's 70 or 30. I'd believe either.
Yeah, that's true.
He could tell you that he's a billionaire or he doesn't have a dollar to his name and I believe it. He's just, he's a very interesting, deep fellow. So it's no surprise to me that we're having a hard time getting him on the phone.
He fell in love with a mannequin and apparently we found out that it was at a sex shop. And he just wanted to marry the mannequin.
Yeah.
So we kind of helped him out and made that happen. And then he took the mannequin and he was going to go to where? Back east?
He was going to go to Las Vegas.
Las Vegas.
That was his big plan. And then he realized that the plastic composite that his wife was made of would not last well in the hot desert heat. So then he changed his mind and he moved to Seattle. And he realized that the Social Security check or the disability check in state of Washington wasn't good enough to cover him and his wife.
Okay.
So he's coming back here to California.
Let me put you on pause for 1 second there. There are a lot of people listening who would not pick up and move to another city because of their spouse. Dua Veed has done it twice already to try to make a better life for a piece of plastic.
With
God bless him.
Yeah, true.
Mike, what's your take on does he realize he's married to a mannequin?
Well, that's the great thing about Dua Veed is that he knows what he's doing is kind of nuts. He's very well aware of the fact that being married to a mannequin is pretty crazy, and he understands everybody's going to look at him and that he's a spectacle.
But he does talk about her as if she's a real person.
Right. He's never been more in love with anybody else in his life, and she doesn't talk back. She doesn't really cost him any money, and he can have his way with her romantically whenever he feels like it.
Right.
Hey, I think she's pretty perfect. I'm thinking about upgrading myself, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
He knows it's crazy, but he's so happy that he is willing to live with whatever smirks are coming from other people because, you know, that's his life and he digs it.
Yeah, he's not one of these fully deluded people like say, Sam the Armenian Comedian that has no connection to reality. David's very well aware of what he's doing.
That's what's weird to me is that he does understand that he married a mannequin.
Yeah.
And he's cool with that. Now, what did he – why was he crying on Thursday or Friday? Why did we try to get him on the phone?
Well, in order to travel with his wife on the Greyhound bus, which is his preferred way
method
of traveling –
transportation, right?
He had to separate his wife in two pieces. He had to put her legs in luggage, and he had to travel with his wife's torso next to him.
Okay.
Because he's the only guy I know who can unscrew his wife, by the way.
And
but then what happened?
When he went to put her back together, I guess there was some – she got damaged in the luggage and in the travel, and now he needs a certain piece of like a screw or a piece of hardware to connect – the legs to the torso.
Okay. But I'm saying he's married to a mannequin.
Yes.
So can't he just be married to a legless mannequin?
No.
Well, no, I'm saying, but what's the...
No, and he's carrying around her legs in a bag, which is very unwieldy.
I'm thinking if he can connect that certain extra orifice to the torso, them legs.
That's what I'm saying.
It might make her a little lighter. There's nothing sadder than seeing poor David, who's not a strong man. he's not a big man. And could, you know, try to drag this very heavy mannequin around Hollywood Boulevard. There's
she
nothing
to lose
worse.
Some weight?
No, I mean, I carried that mannequin when the day that I married him. It's well over 150 pounds.
What?
Yeah,
really?
It's not a cheap, like, flimsy mannequin. It's one of those with, like, the steel, interior skeleton.
Right. Wow.
And then it's got
wow.
the hard plastic around it. It's very heavy.
All right, look, we're almost out of time here, but since we're not going to be able to get David on the phone, what are we looking for? How can we help him? Who would have the kind of part that he needs in order to be able to put his sweet Clara back together?
He needs a part that will connect the leg to the torso.
Right. So either a factory that makes mannequins themselves or a machine shop that could fabricate something like that and would have no problem
making it work.
Making it on the fly, yeah.
And then you can take it over and you can fix Clara?
Oh, no problem. I'd love to.
Oh.
I'd love to take David and Clara down there and have them fix it.
I'd like to fix Clara.
If you have anything that could help David with this, please give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your information off there. If you can help, it'd be awesome. He's not willing to think about just upgrading to a younger, hotter mannequin who has legs, is he?
No, he's definitely got an emotional connection to Clara.
This is it for him. This is it. Wow. All right. Well,
because that's a shame. This would be an outstanding opportunity for him to upgrade.
To a mannequin with legs?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it would be. Yes. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 6:57.
To be here, Daddy was going to perform this year, but he couldn't perform last year. Thank you. We love you, Daddy.
All right. Don't know what that meant?
Yeah.
No idea?
Daddy was going to perform tonight, but he's dead.
That was a little Paris Jackson from the Grammys last night, Lisa.
He's less than alive, but I didn't understand what she was even trying to say. Like, he was supposed to perform.
It just sounded like he was sick.
At the Grammys or something? Or?
You know what? Your brother gave a fine speech. Why don't you just be a good little woman and just shut up, all right?
Oh, wow.
Let him handle the talking.
Wow.
All right. It's the Kevin and Bean Show, the band that won the Best Alternative Album at the Grammys last night, although, of course, they didn't show this on the TV Phoenix. Coming up next in the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Monday.
As we do every Monday morning, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Avatar, in its seventh week, made $30 million this weekend.
It's unstoppable.
It is a juggernaut. And you know what we don't need any more of? Hollywood press. The list where you try to adjust it for inflation and prove that Avatar isn't really the biggest money-making movie of all time.
Because, go back to the 40s or 50s.
You know, the Gone with the Wind would have made $4 billion gazillion. No, it's number one. It just is. You know, if I lived in the 20s, I would be considered a bodybuilder. But I'm not. I live now, and I'm doughy and pale. Okay? I know I would look like a freakishly strong man at the sideshow if it was 1910. But I don't, and I'm not, and it isn't. So stop.
Ralph, also in that era, weren't you lucky if there was two movies out in theaters to see?
Yeah, and movies would last for like 2 years in a theater. Literally, you could go for 2 years, you could see a movie in a theater.
Yeah, the number one box office movie back in those, you know, 25 years ago was making like $6, $7, $8 million. Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy. You can't really compare.
But they always say for ticket sales, you know, if you adjust for inflation and the rise in cost of ticket sales,
right,
then other movies are more it doesn't matter. That doesn't matter.
I mean, that's worthless. I'm with you on that.
It's the biggest money-making movie. It made the most money. Period. That's just get on. Just live with that. Wrap yourselves around it.
If Babe Ruth was alive today, he would be.
No, he's not alive today. And now is now. And that was that.
So you're saying now is now.
That's what I'm saying. This is it. That's what I'm saying. This is it. More proof that Kevin is wrong.
What?
I didn't even do the rest of the top 10. Did I screw? It's not important. I told you this morning that old people were cool.
Yeah.
Despite what you, mm-hmm. you always say, Kevin. I gave you some excellent examples.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another one. Betty White. Okay. Longtime actress, Betty White.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Found out that her co-star from Golden Girls, Rue McClanahan, had a stroke recently.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out, we found out, according to Rue's family, that Betty White sent her a bouquet, and the note read, "I hope you die so I can be the last living Golden Girl." How funny is that?
Yeah. She's the best.
That's pretty good.
Rue McClanahan said Rue, and the rest of the family laughed so hard about getting that note in the bouquet.
That's funny.
See? Old people sometimes can be
Look,
cool.
I live in an area where there are a lot of old people, and basically they just get in their cars and drive around the CVS drugstore parking lot just waiting to die. Yeah. So they drive me out of my mind.
Betty
White
like was on the parking spaces, don't they? They do like the closed parking spaces.
They do. And they're, and they're willing to wait for them. Yeah. Betty White came out on the Golden Globes and got a Lifetime Achievement Award the other day. She's 88 years old. She gave the best speech of the night. She's still very sharp and very funny.
Hmm.
All right. There you go. And Jessica Simpson has problems with the expulsion of intestinal wind.
Yeah! Now we're getting somewhere.
Well, we know she's a good burper.
We know she's got that. And yeah. She's a good farter, too, because her ex-husband used to complain about that on that show, Newlyweds, as well. Us Weekly Magazine reports that she was in a meeting about her fashion line when she released a loud bilabial fricative.
I don't know those words, but...
Yeah, one of those.
Okay.
Apparently her mother actually snapped at her.
In the meeting?
About it, yes.
Didn't I tell you not to fart?
And Jessica didn't even bat an eye, just kept going on with the meeting. But just blasted one in the boardroom.
I don't get that. Like, most women would be mortified.
Well, yeah. We know Jessica is not one to be mortified by her expulsion of gases. But apparently she farts in business meetings.
Everybody else in the meeting must have just been like, "I can't laugh." But we all heard it.
Yeah. You have to be microphones were there, apparently.
You do have to wait for this one to quit, though. So, or you can move on.
It's the best thing she's recorded in 10 years.
It's impressive.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Sherman Hemsley.
Yeah.
He was Mr. Jefferson on the old Jefferson's TV show. He's still Mr. Jefferson.
Is he?
You can't take that away from him.
Yeah.
He's 72 years old today. Sherilyn Fenn from Twin Peaks celebrates her 45th birthday. Patrick Wilson, drummer for Weezer, is 41. Michael C. Hall, very talented actor from 6 Feet Under. And Dexter is 39. Big Boy of Outkast is 35 years old, and Lauren Conrad from The Hills and Laguna Beach celebrates her 24th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman, and walk the showbiz beat.
That is Phoenix on the Kevin and Bean Show. As I mentioned, they won the Best Alternative Album Grammy, so congratulations to those guys. I like them very much, very happy for them. Not a lot of our kind of music on the show last night. Green Day did win Best Rock Album for their American Idiot. Kings of Leon won, I think, for Record of the Year. Beyond that, there's a lot of Black Eyed Peas and Taylor Swift.
Basically only.
Psycho Mike has highlights from the Grammy Roundtable, including his interview with Rihanna, coming up later this hour, by the way. So stick around for that. First, though, Kevin, you got an update on a story that captivated the nation after the holidays?
Well, members of the global dating site BeautifulPeople.com might think twice before eating sugar over the holidays. They apparently gained too much weight, and they got kicked off the site.
Wow, that's rough.
They're kicking fatty right off the site.
I am 50 pounds away from being able to get on beautifulpeople.com. If I could just lose that last 50 pounds, that's my only problem. Well, we wanted to find out what's going on with gaining 5 pounds and getting booted off the dating site. So we asked someone from beautifulpeople.com to come on the show. We have Mr. Greg Hodge joining us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Greg, how are you, man?
Hey, Kevin and Ben. How are you guys? Thanks for having me on.
Very good. Thank you.
I got to be honest, it's the best thing that ever happened to beautifulpeople.com because I did not know that such a site existed. But in fact, you guys have been around for a real long time, right?
Yeah. No, we launched in the U.S. initially in 2005. We've been well established in the U.S. and it's been very successful here for quite a period of time now. Yes, certainly.
How many members on beautifulpeople.com?
Well, we literally have over 600,000 members worldwide, close on 100,000 in the U.S. alone. You know, and it does very well because Beautiful People is founded on one very basic principle of human nature, and that is that, at least initially, we want to be with someone we're attracted to.
Right.
Certainly, yeah. Now, how do you, I mean, especially when that's what you're advertising, especially when people know they go to beautifulpeople.com, they're going to get attracted to people, how do you police that? How do you trust people to upload current, accurate photos of that, of the person that they claim they are?
Well, look, what we do is if we suspect anyone is being ungenuine, we run what's called a sincerity check, where the member in question is sent an automatic email requesting they send in a new picture of certain specs so we know it hasn't been doctored, holding a copy of today's newspaper. We're not kidding around. We're very serious that the people our members meet online, you know, look as they do in real life as they represent themselves online. And that's this whole Festus Fatty story. This is where it came from. Because what we found is our members were going out on dates or they're going to events or parties and meeting other members and finding out that they weren't as attractive as they had represented themselves when they got voted into the website. So we took matters into hand and cleaned it up.
Now, when you say voted into the website, tell us how you decide who gets accepted, and then on the opposite side, I guess you kicked out 5,000 people. How you decide that they're too heavy?
It's been over 5,000 since then. But yeah, I mean, beauty is subjective. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. No one person can define beauty for a majority. So what we've done is we've given the power to the members and let them define beauty in a very fair and democratic way. So essentially, if you were applying to Beautiful People, you'd be voted on by the existing members of the opposite sex based on whether or not they find your profile attractive.
And then what, if 51% says yes or no?
51%, you're granted coveted access to Beautiful People. You know, anything under that, and unfortunately, you're shown the door.
How about that? But you're able to go lose the weight or improve your appearance and apply again at some other time,
yes,
right?
Yes, certainly. You know, of course, you can apply as many times as you like, and we encourage people to reapply. Certainly, I mean, our festive fatties that we've lost over the festive season, we hope they shed those festive pounds and get back to us. I mean,
all right,
bad business.
Let's talk about that for a sec. This is Greg Hodge. You're listening to, by the way, spokesperson for the website beautifulpeople.com, dating website for attractive folks. How was it discovered that these people, this 5,000 plus people, had gained a few pounds over the holidays? Did they upload new pictures and they looked fatter, or it's just something that they wrote about in the text on their page, or what?
No, look, well, I mean, we're always on the lookout to make sure that our members look as they represent themselves online. But what was happening, it started kind of in November. The whole problem started to snowball. It started in the U.S. You know, you got Thanksgiving, that kind of rolls into the Christmas festive season. What was happening, our members, like I said, were going on dates or events, and we were getting numerous complaints coming in. And then what happens is members upload their own photo albums, so updated pictures, and we were getting a lot of complaints from members as well saying, look, this person in their photo album doesn't look like the picture they were voted in on. What are we going to do about it? So we had to implement an automated system.
Good for you. Good for you. So what happens if you've got a really hot chick with a great personality who makes a lot of money and is pretty easy, yet she gets in a car accident and ends up with a scar on her forehead? She's out, right?
Well, look, you know what? If there's extreme mitigating circumstances, of course we're going to look at each situation by a case-by-case basis. But that's an extreme exception, not the norm. The norm is people were just being extremely overindulgent. I mean, just because you get accepted to Beautiful People doesn't give you a lifetime membership. If you don't pay your $100,000 a year golf dues, you're thrown out. And communities need to be exclusive to serve the very purpose of the community. Beautiful People being, you have to remain attractive to your fellow members.
What's the least amount of weight somebody gained and then got kicked out?
I don't have the answer to that. I mean,
are we talking 5 pounds or are we talking 50 pounds?
Well, you know, I guess it's all subjective at the end of the day. And all we do is we move our newly chubby members back to rating and let the members decide their fate. And look, we're not saying that big is not beautiful. I mean, Marilyn Monroe was a size 16, 17 at the height of her career. Vince Vaughn, he's a big, heavy-set guy, and he's very popular with the ladies. All we're saying is, And members demand that you represent yourself honestly, because the dating and social networking is, you know, communities out there are a minefield of people misrepresenting themselves.
Right.
And our members deserve to, you know, demand better.
But not to argue, but you are saying that fat people aren't beautiful, because the site's beautiful people, and then you're kicking fat people off.
You got no fat people.
I mean, it's really, that is what you're saying.
Well, but you've got to remember, the members were voted, these particular people were voted in on with one picture. And they represented themselves to our members one way.
Right.
And then they turned out not to look like that. If they had been voted in with a picture where they were, you know, a little bit more heavy set but still deemed attracted by our members, then that would be fine. And a lot of those people that were moved back to the rating module, some did make it through, you know, but the vast majority were kicked out. Yes, certainly.
Greg, are you one of the beautiful people?
You know, I mean, with a really good photographer and a slightly exaggerated profile text, I might scrape through on the site. But there's a funny story. My business partner, Robert Hinter, who actually founded the concept of Beautiful People, he created this great concept. He started it. And then when he actually applied to the site, he applied in Denmark, where it first originated, he couldn't get in himself.
That makes me feel a little better.
Yeah.
That's funny. Look, I love what you're doing. I'm glad that you're standing by it. I think it's fine. I think people know what they're getting when they go to a site called beautifulbe.com. Obviously, it's going to be based on somebody's looks. And I'm especially happy that you're upsetting the fat acceptance movement. I'm so happy to see those, like, fatrights.org and those people. You're getting their panties in a twist. And I'm always happy to make them unhappy. So,
right. Well, Greg, I'm glad we could please.
Greg Hodge, spokesperson for beautifulbe.com. You'll never see us on the site, sadly, Greg, so we're probably going to have to say goodbye forever now, but thank you for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Pleasure. Thanks.
Hey!
What's that?
Really?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 26 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Psycho Mike at the Grammy Roundtable interviewing Rihanna, Ludacris, and his new boyfriend Justin Bieber. That's coming up in about 10 minutes. Also, Adam Sessler from G4 talking about the 1,000th episode of his show on G4, by the way. How about that?
That's
1,000
crazy.
Episodes already. So he's coming up in about a half an hour. Right now, though, got to turn our attention toward this Sunday to the Super Bowl. A lot of controversy. Folks have realized, Kevin, that you can get millions of dollars in publicity on talking about putting a commercial in the Super Bowl that doesn't even air. You don't have to pay for it anymore, and you get everybody talking about it.
Oh, you think they're doing this on purpose?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. Man Crunch is the client, and it sounds like something that we would make up. But Man Crunch is a gay dating site, and they have produced a commercial that is widely seen online. It's easy to find, and it's a couple of guys sitting there in football jerseys watching the game. They reach in for the chips, their hands touch, and all of a sudden they can't keep their hands off each other. It's electricity.
Oh.
And it makes it look like they start making out on the couch, although you don't actually see any lips or kissing or anything like that. So CBS is not going to air it. They've said no, too gay for the Super Bowl.
Not appropriate. Not appropriate for the family values crowd, for the families that are going to be watching. Not appropriate. So they're not going
to
air it.
Which is an argument that I understand, but I wanted to hear more about it. So we asked producer Alex to line up somebody for us on this story. Speaking in defense of CBS, Michael Wendler joins us. He is with an organization called, I'm sorry, it says here your organization, Mr. Wendler, is called HOMO?
Well, no. The organization is called Heterosexuals Only Membership Organization, and unfortunately, the first letter of each of those words does spell it homo.
Yeah.
And that's just a
but that's not what we go by.
You don't go by that.
No.
You don't go by homo. All right.
No.
So CBS is making the right call, in your view, to
absolutely.
You don't want an uncomfortable conversation with little kids that might be watching the Super Bowl. Then you have to explain why men are kissing.
It's very important for us and our organization to get behind CBS 100%. And, well, not get behind them. That's
right.
Gay.
Right. No, you don't.
But to support them 100% in their decision. And we want to thank them for making the right choice for America and for the American youth who will be watching on Sunday. And they've done the right thing. And now we encourage them to go further, to take the next step.
Further?
Doing the right thing, and to ban the Super Bowl from CBS television.
What?
The game?
You mean
yes. The
football?
The Super Bowl is way too gay.
Well, they're playing professional sports. What are you talking about?
Well, sports are one thing, but football is way gay. It is a gay sport.
Okay.
But it seems really, like, manly and masculine.
Maybe where you're from, sister, but not from where I'm looking. Listen, okay. Let me tell you something.
All right.
It's so gay, this sport. It's a bunch of guys sweating and just landed in piles all over an open field.
Well, that's true.
Just wriggling together. and to celebrate their wriggling, they get up and they pat each other's butts, and then they go shower together. That's their reward.
That's all true.
It's way gay.
That's hard to argue.
I mean, only in football. Do you have guys named receivers and tight ends whose only goal is to get wide open to be on the receiving end of a frozen rope?
Well, when you put it that way.
Oh.
When you
I
put
mean,
it that
come
way.
On. Now, the sole goal of the defense is to penetrate the backfield.
That's true.
Oh, wow.
That's all they want to do all day long.
That
the
is
running
true.
Backs just want to hit the hole.
Right.
That's
right.
All they want.
That's true.
CBS, do the right thing. Get this gay show off your network.
Now, CBS, I don't think is going that far.
They need to.
Oh.
If they're going to ban the gay ads, they got to ban this gay event. What a bunch of homos!
But wait a minute. What about
Ooh,
the fact?
I'm a tight end. Don't look at me. Ooh, I'm a wide receiver. Ooh, hey, quarterback. I'm in the center. Just put your hands right on my ass. Take your hands and put them under my sack, right near the taint. Just leave them there. But that's where your head should go.
Yeah.
I'm going to bend over, and you touch my taint.
Yeah. I am now uncomfortable planning on watching the game on Sunday.
My muscles are sore. Let's go back in the locker room and slather Ben Gay all over him. Gay! Gay!
All right. It's gay.
Boy, it is a gay event.
All right. It's gay. You're right.
Instead of this, they should show bodybuilding. Oh, I love bodybuilding.
Bodybuilding?
Oh, guys, just oiled up all freaking
wait,
hot.
What?
Oh,
how's that?
God.
But wait a minute.
Oh, it's my favorite thing. Oh,
how's that not good?
Oh.
What are you talking about here? You sound a little gay yourself here, Michael.
Oh, I need a nap.
That new song from Linkin Park, by the way, is called Not Alone. It is available for download with a contribution to benefit the Haiti victims. You can go to musicforrelief.org to download this song. Psycho Mike caught up with the guys in Linkin Park a couple days ago at the Grammy Roundtable, and they said that they were going to be continuously adding to that musicforrelief.org download album. So what the songs that are up there today may not be the same songs that are up there a month from now. They're going to continue to use this throughout the year to benefit Haiti, which I thought was an excellent plan.
That's a good idea.
Speaking of the Grammy Roundtable, Psycho Mike, you and Dave, the King of Mexico, went down there. This is a couple days leading up to the big awards show that was on CBS last night, and they trot out a bunch of people for you to interview, some people that maybe you ordinarily wouldn't find yourself spending time with.
Exactly, and for two reasons. I wouldn't ordinarily want to spend time with a spokesperson for Yahoo Search.
Sure.
Because I don't want to spend time with them.
Right.
But I also wouldn't normally spend time with Rihanna. Because she's Rihanna.
Right.
Right.
But I got a chance to talk to both. It was a really weird...
Which was better?
Rihanna, but just barely.
Okay.
But just barely, Kevin, because you wouldn't have any idea how riveting Yahoo Search can be. So the first people we talked to down at the Grammy Roundtable were Bruce Jenner and Kris Kardashian, the Kardashian mom.
Okay.
And, you know, mostly it was on interesting stuff, them promoting the show, but I had to get to the heart of what really goes down in the Kardashian household.
I've heard that Lamar has the largest penis on the Lakers, and I'm being serious, from an inside source.
I have
Does
not
that factor
seen it,
in?
So I don't know. I mean, not for
I
me.
I haven't seen it yet, so don't ask me.
That was my next question, if you went golfing with the boys.
No.
And,
no.
No showers or anything, no.
Okay.
Well, good for you for asking.
No, I was
you
curious.
Have to.
I wanted
but
to know who had
is
bigger...
their daughter walking funny? That's what
right.
I want to know.
I wanted to know who had a bigger wiener, Reggie Bush or Lamar, but it turns out neither of them had seen either wiener.
No stories? They don't talk about that? They don't go, hey, Mom, what is that? I mean, let me tell you about Reggie Bush.
No, I'm shocked.
Okay.
But, you know, Chloe can handle
sure.
anything.
Yeah.
So the next person we got a chance to talk to was Ludacris. Big star,
wow.
Big actor, big rapper. Very cool, right? I was very excited to get a chance to talk to Ludacris.
Gummy candy is bullshit, right?
I mean, you know, it's just not for me. I'm not going to say it's bullshit.
All right, so we are sitting down with the one and only Ludacris.
Yes, sir.
Nice to talk to a real, I mean, big-time star. Seventh album, studio album coming out very soon.
Yeah, Battle of the Sexes is March 9th is the official date. This is album number 7 for me. I'm extremely happy about that because it's like my 10-year anniversary. Back for the first time, my first album came out in the year 2000.
Are you starting to develop your own line of cognac? Is this true?
Absolutely. It's not even developing. It is out. We are coming to Los Angeles in March. It's called Conjure Cognac. So, you know, I know a lot of people, they only know about Hennessy or they only know about Remy. As soon as you get a chance to taste Conjure, you will completely forget about the rest of the competition. Trust me when I tell you.
Now, is it cool in your eyes, as like a really cool black guy, is it cool for, if you go cruising to a club, you see a white guy drinking cognac, is that okay? Or do I look like a poser?
No, you look like they're cognac drinkers. They're connoisseurs. It's perfectly fine for you to do that. You should do that.
Okay, because the only white guy I knew that drank cognac was Napoleon. But I just want to make sure I get a good like, run by you first.
White guys drink cognac. That's trust me. Okay. They know about the XOs, the VSOPs. They all know about Louis XIII and things of that nature.
Yeah.
So you need to check it out, man.
Good old Louis XIII. He was my favorite.
Wow, what just happened there?
What?
As I promised, we talked to Rihanna.
Yeah.
Yes, now we're talking.
My sweet princess.
Did you embarrass us?
I didn't. I know you automatically assume
because
that
you
I
always
embarrass the Kevin and Bean show.
Right. If you don't end up moving to the island to be with her, I'm going to be disappointed. Come on, Mike, this was your chance.
I know. And I believe
you. And look, all you have to do is not hit her and you're already the best boyfriend she ever had.
Wow. I rarely get a chance to talk to stars of this caliber, so I know you guys are concerned, but I think that things turned out pretty well.
You don't strike me as the type of girl that would eat a 12,000 calorie gummy bear.
It would take me a while, but I love gummy bears.
Did you have the world's largest?
Yeah, sorry about that. I forgot to mention that Dave brought the world's largest gummy bear with us.
Mm-hmm.
And that seemed to be the topic of conversation a lot when people would sit down because it's unbelievable to see.
I like that her answer is, it may take me a while, but I could do it.
She's like, what is that? What is that you got right there?
Rihanna, thank you for taking the time to sit down with us.
My pleasure. How are you?
You know, I can't complain. Now, you have sold close to 13 million records. You've been the focus of an immense media scrutiny. And you're only 21 years of age. How have you managed to stay so composed and poised throughout all this?
I was raised well. I was raised by a very strong woman. And luckily, I have a lot of her characteristics. My mom and just prayers, you know?
Can you tell us a little bit about the song Stranded, the Haitian Relief song that you worked with Jay-Z and Bono on?
Mm-hmm. Stranded, Bono and Swiss Beats. Actually, Swiss called Bono and said, if you were to make a song for this charity, what would it be called? And he said, Stranded. And he said, and how would it go? And Bono just came up with the melody on the spot. And they structured the song like that, and then Jay-Z did his part, and then they called me, and they wanted me to sing on the parts with Bono, so of course I had to do it. Number one, it was for a great cause. Number two, it was a great opportunity to work with Bono and Jay-Z.
Now, you and Jay-Z have a very close relationship.
Yes.
Does Beyonce ever get jealous that he's spending so much time and effort on a younger, hotter girl?
You're funny. She doesn't have anything to be jealous of. You know, she's very successful, beautiful, and married to Jay-Z. And, you know, we have very different relationships with him.
Dave and I, huge Dodger fans.
Oh, that's awesome.
Okay. You're going to take care of our man, Matt Kemp?
You're the fans. You have to take care of him.
I heard you're not even really a baseball fan.
You're the fans. No, I don't know anything about baseball. I'm from Barbados.
Well, we love Mr. Kemp, so please pass on our blessings.
Okay.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
You.
And then, might I say, not to sound forward, you are somehow even more beautiful in person.
That is awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
What'd
you
cut out, Mike?
What did you cut out?
Look at that.
That was pretty impressive, Mike. I mean, you had research and well thought out and articulated questions.
Right, but what did you cut out?
Nothing but.
Oh, there's a lot there that happened, and then
pure butter.
She got ushered away, and then
Usher wasn't there. Kevin.
Oh dear God!
Now,
sorry, Bean. What?
I was just gonna say your fear was Mike always said that his fear was that somehow Rihanna was gonna screw with Matt Kemp, outfielder for the Dodgers, and she's gonna destroy the team. I guess that's what he's heading for. He didn't say that, but that was his fear: is that she was nothing but bad news for him. Right?
I did not want her to be the Khloe Kardashian of the Dodgers.
Yeah, sure.
But it doesn't appear as if that'll happen because she has no desire to be on screen at Dodger Stadium or get involved with. She has no clue what's going on in baseball. I mean, Matt Kemp was just another dude to her,
right?
So that alleviated some of my worries. But two things: she wants me. A, I could tell.
Okay. And you're basing that on nothing that we heard.
And has she ever sounded more island than in that interview?
No, she's
FOB.
I think she was relaxed.
Hey! 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's 7:56.
By the way, tomorrow on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, we'll talk to a Kevin and Bean listener who's complaining that we're not taking Groundhog Day seriously enough. That's her beef with us. Also, we'll talk to the great actor Michael Emerson. He is Benjamin Lannis on Lost, Don't You Know, about the return of Lost tomorrow night. That's tomorrow, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Monday. What's going on?
I want to thank all the listeners who showed up Saturday night at the Improv in Hollywood when we were doing Adam Carolla's live podcast event. It was so much fun.
Oh, really?
Yeah, good. it really was a blast. And a lot of people had written, they wanted to get in the shows. Both shows sold out Saturday night, so they couldn't go. So I wanted to give you a heads up that this Wednesday night we're doing it again at the Brea Improv, the Brea, California Improv. Adam Carolla will be there along with myself. It's two shows, 7 and 9. So if you want to check it out, improv.com is where you go to buy tickets. It's Brea this week, and then next week we're going to do Ontario.
What's happening with you?
Adam and I haven't worked together in like 15 years, so we're just sort of excited about being
take it on the road?
Reunited, and it feels so good. I guess
in other words, he's paying you to show up.
No, I'm working out with him because I enjoy it. It's nice to work with someone that you know, you get along with and is funny.
It's funny.
Trying something new.
It's a nice change of pace for me.
Two things you like here.
Exactly. today's Monday, which means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Avatar, number one at the box office. $30 million made it so in week number 7. Edge of Darkness, the new Mel Gibson thriller, was behind it, number 2 at the box office with $17 million. When in Rome was 3rd, The Tooth Fairy was 4th, Book of Eli and Legion are 5th and 6th, The Lovely Bones, Sherlock Holmes, Alvin and the Chipmunks, The Squeakquel, and It's Complicated, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Speaking of movies, you know, we got the Oscars coming up soon.
Yes.
But my favorite award ceremony when it comes to movies is always the Razzies, the Golden Raspberry Awards, which are the films who are nominated for being the worst in cinema.
Yeah, those
throughout the year.
That's some tough competition, too.
It sure is. Here they are, the nominations for the Razzies this year. Worst Motion Picture, All About Steve, G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra, Land of the Lost, Old Dogs, and Transformers Revenge of the Fallen are your nominees for the worst movie of the year. Worst actor, all three Jonas Brothers in Jonas Brothers, the 3D concert experience. Steve Martin for Pink Panther 2. Eddie Murphy for Imagine That. John Travolta for Old Dogs. And Will Ferrell for Land of the Lost. Worst actress, Beyonce for Obsessed. Sandra Bullock for All About Steve. Miley Cyrus for Montana, Hannah Montana the movie. Megan Fox for Jennifer's Body and Transformers.
Wow.
And Sarah Jessica Parker for Did You Hear About the Morgans?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty hard.
Beyonce was fine in that Obsessed movie, by the way.
You saw it?
Am I the only one who saw it?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was fine in that.
I saw it. It was
on cable.
It was serviceable, yeah. I
mean, yeah, she was fine. She's not a terrible actress like some of the ones on that list.
Because it is 2010, they are rounding out the, they're giving some special Razzies away this year. Worst of the Decade.
Oh, good.
Worst Picture of the Decade, Battlefield Earth, of course, had to be in there. Freddy Got Fingered.
Sure.
Gigli, I Know Who Killed Me, and Swept Away were the nominees for worst movie of the decade. Worst actor of the decade, Ben Affleck was nominated for his work in Daredevil, Gigli, Jersey Girl, Paycheck, Pearl Harbor, and Surviving Christmas. Eddie Murphy got the nod for Pluto Nash, I Spy, Imagine That, Meet Dave Norbit, and Showtime. Mike Myers was nominated for Cat in the Hat and the Love Guru. Rob Schneider for The Animal, Bench Warmers, Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo, Grandma's Boy, The Hot Chick, I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry, Little Man and Little Nicky. And John Travolta for Battlefield Earth, Domestic Disturbance, Lucky Numbers, Old Dogs, and Swordfish. So it's a great list for the Razzies this year. I thought it was well done. Oh, my goodness.
What?
Did you hear about Madonna?
No.
She's fixing up her boyfriend. Apparently, Jesus Luz, her boy toy.
Yeah.
I don't know, he's like 25 and she's 90. She apparently doesn't like his teeth, so she's forcing him to wear Invisalign braces until his smile is more to her liking.
She's treating him like one of her children, basically.
She's fixing him up. Apparently, she didn't like his smile, so she plunked down the $8,000 it takes and got him a set of Invisaligns, and now insisting that he's wearing them, and he's not too pleased about it.
Holy
And speaking of movies, they're doing another remake of Planet of the Apes.
Excellent. Excellent.
Why?
The Tim Burton 2001 remake was horrible. Let's face it. It was a bad, bad
movie. It wasn't good.
Marky Mark. That's what you got a Razzie for that one.
Yeah.
So they're doing it again. Fox is apparently reworking the script once again. This time they're going to show how the apes evolved into super smart ones.
Okay.
It's the premise is that they're doing genetic experiments on these apes, trying to increase their intelligence, and they succeed. And then you know what happens.
It gets away from us.
It gets away from us, and they take over. And Caesar is the leader of the apes, and they take over civilization.
That's going to happen, by the way.
It's happening as we speak.
Yeah.
I still love those original Planet of the Apes movies.
Great films. Still I don't know if you'll ever be able to beat Chuck Heston and Roddy McDowell in those movies. Today's celebrity birthdays, Lauren Conrad from The Hills and Laguna Beach is 24 years old today. Michael C. Hall from Dexter and 6 Feet Under is 39. Pauly Shore celebrates his 42nd birthday.
Hello. Hi, K-Rockers. This is Pauly Shore.
Don't tease me. Charlene Fenn is 45. Xene Cervenka of X celebrates her 54th birthday. Billy Mumy from Lost in Space. Little Billy Mumy. Billy Mumy. Will Robinson.
Right.
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger, danger, Will Robinson. Billy Mumy.
Right.
Heard, Billy Mumy.
Heard it the first 10 times.
The Mooms. He is 56 years old today. You know, Dave, the King of Mexico, is a huge Lost in Space fan. Loves Lost in Space.
What?
It's one of his favorite TV shows ever.
I love the Twilight Zone and Lost in Space. I love it. Watch it all day.
He loves it.
Odd.
And Sherman Hemsley, who played Mr. Jefferson in The Jeffersons. He is 72 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Folks who know the G4 network know it as that channel you go to hoping to catch Olivia Munn in a bikini. But every once in a while, there's another show on there that's awesome, and that show is called X-Play, now celebrating, believe it or not, its 1,000th episode, yeah! Ladies and gentlemen. Wow. Please welcome the host and editor-in-chief of X-Play on G4, Adam Sessler, who joins
us on the
Kevin and Bean Show. Never see you in a bikini.
You know what? I hate to say it. I actually did something like that once on the show.
Oh.
You did?
Yeah. There's a reason why it doesn't air. You know, you just kind of see that free fall in the ratings.
Yeah.
Even I was disappointed.
Certainly. You knew what to expect.
Exactly.
So these days, a television show is lucky to be on for a year. And how long has it taken you to get 1,000 episodes on G4 of X-Play?
Well, the first episode of X-Play aired, I think it was like in April of 2003 on Tech TV.
Okay.
And yeah, somehow we survived. I think it's somehow, you know, staying below the radar. Or, you know, just
so the work is just
begging.
Subpar so that it doesn't ever
exactly
put its head up to get smashed or cut off.
Yeah, because somehow the fact that I was actually able to make it from 1998 to 2003 so we could start X-Play is the part that even fascinates me more.
Okay.
But yeah, it was... Some form of longevity was blessed upon us. That's all I know.
Well, you jumped on the right horse because the industry that you cover on your show isn't going anywhere and is only becoming more popular every day. I mean, I would imagine that, you know, there was a time when people probably thought, how are you going to fill up a show just talking about games? And now you're probably lucky to get it in a half an hour.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I think that is actually why we are around, is that we did kind of hitch a ride to the one growth entertainment industry that's out there.
Huge growth, too. I mean, not just a small thing. That was amazing growth. The last 10 years has been crazy.
And what we've seen in the last 10 years is it, you know, it stopped being just kind of this thing just for dudes and just for dudes like in their 20s into something that is now incorporating people of all different ages. And, you know, it's bringing in all these women, too, with stuff like the Wii and stuff that's happening on Facebook. You know, games are a lot broader than what they used to be. You know, I'm a space marine. I need to shoot an alien.
Right. Sure.
Do you find a lot of women who love to kill things in games, though?
Yeah. Actually, If you asked me 10 years ago, I would have probably said no. But it is something where video game consoles are just being found in people's homes. And even though, like, maybe the son buys it, it then starts to be used by other people in the family.
Sure.
And this next generation, it seems to be that there's no gender separation in terms of games. Maybe sometimes, you know, there's an interest in certain games more than another. But everyone probably has played a little bit of Halo, has played a little bit of Call of Duty.
Hmm. Wow, that's
yeah.
I'm just trying to picture any woman playing Call of Duty. I'm having trouble picturing that. But you say they're out there, huh?
Yeah. I mean, there's some that don't.
Of course,
yeah. Let's be honest. But it's far more prevalent than I think you would think.
What are you doing for your 1,000th episode? What's going to be special on the show?
Well, starting at 10 a.m., we had all of our fans vote on what they thought were their favorite episodes of X-Play from the past. We used to do these special episodes, as we called them internally, where we'd spend too much money and we'd work way too hard. There was one where I played Hunter S. Thompson and Morgan played Amelia Earhart, and we went out to the desert. We really did. To try to find these missing cartridges for E.T. for the Atari 2600 that are rumored to be buried out there. And so
Wait. That happened?
Well, the rumor really does exist that they're buried somewhere because the game was a big flop. It helped bring down the video game industry. And so we go out there and we run into Aleister Crowley. And at the end of the episode, a bunch of cartoon characters actually bomb us because he just wanted to blow something up out there in the desert. And then we open a portal to evil and, you know, things come out.
Wait. Is this the show that's made it 1,000 episodes?
Yeah, this is the show that somehow made it to 1,000 episodes.
All right.
How did you do so much peyote before you got into the desert?
Well, you know, it's a much longer drive than you would think.
Crazy.
And I was hungry, and I was done with my fries. I'm like, what's this?
So they vote for what? They vote for the best moment, best shows, what?
The best episodes. We kind of offered up about 20, 25 episodes. We narrowed it down to 10. Mm-hmm. So we're going to run those starting at 10 a.m. And then at 3 p.m., this is all for East Coast. I mean, for West Coast time, it'd be 6 p.m. on the East Coast. We're going to have our 1,000th episode, which is an hour-long celebration where we have special guests, and we're going to take a look back on some very silly things. It was neat putting this show together because back in the old days, there were a lot more bad games.
Right.
And we were just cruel. Like, to the point where I'm laughing, and I'm like, but wow, I can't believe some people in the industry even talk to me anymore if I said that about their game.
Because they were bad and you called them on it, you mean?
Yes, I definitely called them on it.
Yeah.
One of them, there's one game where I said that really you will not be able to withstand the massive suck emanating.
Wow. Yeah. All right.
In a couple minutes, by the way, when we come back with our guest, Adam Sessler from X-Play on G4, we're going to talk about a bunch of the new January-February releases that we haven't had a chance to address on the air. But before we do that, and before we take a break, what kind of fan mail do you get, Adam?
I get some really friendly fan mail, and then I don't. One of the things that you have to put up with in this internet era is the role of the fanboy. And there's a lot of kids out there that they look at video game reviews as something to validate them. Like, they've already decided they love this game. Okay. And if I disagree, it's like I insulted their mother. It's like I insulted their entire family.
Right.
And there's a ferocity that's a little bit, you know,
scary.
It's a little scary. Mm-hmm. So that definitely stands out. And, you know, back in the old days, we still do it now. We like to find those really special emails and read them on the air
and
make fun of them because they only have a computer. We have a television.
You win.
You win. All right. Starting at 10 o'clock West Coast time, countdown to the 1,000th episode with a marathon of the best of X-Play on G4. We'll take a quick break. Adam Sessler returns after this. We'll talk about Bioshock 2 and Mass Effect 2 and Darksiders and all the big games that are out right now. Right after this on the Kevin and Bean. Oh, big fat losers. Silver Sun Pickups right there on the Kevin and Bean Show. Huh? They were up for the Best New Artist Grammy last night. I was so pulling for them. I so wanted them to win. But the Zac Brown Band won, whatever that is.
It's a country world we live in, my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently that's the case. All right. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com in minutes. Our friend Adam Sessler is in studio right now. He is the host and editor-in-chief of X-Play on G4, an outstanding show. If you want to keep track of what's going on in the gaming world, it's funny. Adam was trying to complain, yet not complain, about how much time he has to spend playing video games during the song there. Because on the one hand, yeah, it is work, and you are required to do it. On the other hand, there are a lot of worst things you could be doing with your time, let's be honest.
Yeah, that's true. No, completely.
Tell us everything you know about Bioshock 2. Go.
It comes out
tomorrow.
Next week.
Right.
Yeah, it comes out on the 9th, and
right.
We will have our
but
review.
But you've played
up.
It, right?
I have not played it yet.
Oh, you haven't?
Actually,
okay.
Yes. I signed that to one of my lucky reviewers, who is currently, well, they better be, you know, hard at work at getting through
playing
that game. But obviously, yes, it's a very, very well-anticipated game because the first one was this kind of critical success, and it sold very, very well, and there's a lot of promise that just continuing the sensation of being in this underwater city that's all Art Deco and filled with crazy people trying to kill you, you know, it sounds like,
I'll go back to that, yeah. It's the same city, Rapture?
City? It's back in Rapture. It's 10 years later, but you play one of the big daddies this time, which were the big beasts that you're trying to stop constantly throughout the original Bioshock.
All right. What else can you tell us?
That's about all I can tell you right now because I just don't have the knowledge.
they put the clamps on Adam every once in a while.
Dang it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a rule because they want everyone to have enough time with the game. And then, you know, when the game comes out, they prefer to have us, voice our opinions of them rather than months in advance.
Right.
So you've got an embargo and Kevin basically is trying to get you fired.
Yeah.
That's what's
trying
to happen.
Exactly.
Just give us something you're not supposed
you guys.
To. Give us one thing you're not supposed to.
One thing?
Just one thing you're not supposed to about that.
It's a pretty package.
That's not it.
All right, well, let's talk about your obsession, which is Mass Effect 2.
Yes.
Why do you love this so much?
Well, I was a big fan of the first game, but the first one, it had its flaws. But what makes this series so phenomenal is that it's a role-playing game, but if you have ever played D&D, it's not going to feel like you play D&D because it's mixing a whole bunch of different types of games all together. It's got shooting elements. It's in space, which is a nice alternative to yet another dragon or some guy with a helmet on his head.
Right.
But what's also really cool is that the story is really good, and you really do create the story. You play a character, Commander Shepard. You can play it as a man or a woman, and you have all these interactions with other people that are on your ship or that you meet through the course of the game. And depending on how you behave with them, the course of the story will alter.
Wow, that's interesting.
And
so if you went back and played it differently, it would be a whole different game?
Yes, and it's really fun when we play these at work because everyone comes in with stories the next morning and you realize that never happened to me. One guy actually someone tried to poison him at a bar. It never happened to me. I have one character that couldn't stand me and happened to be really good friends with someone else who was playing the game.
I slept with
one character in the game and no one else could seem to get busy with her.
Wow, nice work.
And so it's really neat.
That's interesting.
I mean, that's a whole new way to look at a virtual reality, isn't it? Where everybody's experience is different.
Yeah, and it's really neat because it's the one thing that video games do differently than any other form of entertainment is that they kind of give the reins of control over to the player. I mean, no author is going to let you write the last chapter to their book. And they're kind of doing that in a video game. And I think it really helps make it more absorbing. And for a game that it's as long as I played Mass Effect 2, which I think I put in about 45 to 50 hours over 5 days.
Unbelievable.
I can only do that if I feel that I'm getting something very unique out of it.
Is that the average? I mean, how long does it take you to review a game? Because you have to play a lot of the levels to...
It's important for us that we actually, if it's a narrative game, we want to get to the end of it.
Right.
The only games we wouldn't see all the way through are, say, like Madden, because trying to play an entire season is a little bit unreasonable.
Sure.
And so a role-playing game tends to be the longest type of game, where some of them could even reach 100 hours. Most other games, like an action game, you're looking at about 8 to 10 hours. So that's quite feasible in the course of a weekend. But yeah, this was a big commitment.
Wow. By the way, this Mass Effect 2, we're told, has sold over 2 million units in its first week of release. So obviously you weren't the only one who was waiting for that. What about Bayonetta? What's that all about?
Okay, this is a really neat game and one that I had absolutely no hope for the past year. And it came out really early in January, which usually tells me, it can't be that good. No, I'm completely wrong. It's this Japanese action game from a gentleman who also made a series called Devil May Cry. He kind of jumped ship and wanted to make his own thing. And you play a witch named Bayonetta who wears sexy librarian glasses, and she doesn't have clothes so much as hair that's magical that covers her body and sometimes comes off and attacks people.
All right.
And she has guns on her
hair. Her hair attacks people?
Her hair can attack people.
But does she get naked when that happens?
Well, so often you'll see something that covers the naughty bits.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, she's this hyper-sexualized character with guns on her feet that's haunting. She's actually fighting angels in heaven. It's the most insane game I've ever seen. When you jump, you turn into a butterfly. And when you target somebody, there's like a big, kind of lipstick kiss imprint over them.
Hey, Bean, I think we've lost Adam.
I think he's gone bye-bye.
It's absolutely
nuts. This was a dream he had.
Oh, hold on. I'm on the Kevin and Bean show.
And you woke up and your pillow was gone. All right. Our remaining moments with Adam Sessler. How about Darksiders? That's another one that has made a little bit of a splash.
Yeah, a lot of people are liking this game. We're not huge fans. It's a strange hybrid of the classic Legend of Zelda games and the God of War series. And if that sounds like a strange mishmash, it is, because one is hyper-violent and one is kind of a classic that's intended for anybody of any age.
Right.
They kind of work together in terms of being very familiar, but they kind of don't have the charm or what really makes those particular series so good. And you play one of the Horsemen of the Apocalypse. It was designed by a really, really good comic book artist, but it doesn't seem to have that kind of that punch. And there's so much other really strong stuff that's coming out in the first part of the year that we've been kind of telling a lot of our readers, you may want to keep your eye on something else rather than this one. It might be a fine one for June, but right now there's some great stuff to play.
All right, we were talking about BioShock 2. What else is on the horizon?
We have a lot of games. This is the nuttiest first quarter. We're going to be seeing God of War 3 a little bit ways down the line. There's a very interesting game called Heavy Rain that's coming out at the end of February. And if Mass Effect 2 lets you tell the story, this one, it's even more so, where your character can die, but the story will continue.
Huh.
Yeah, it's quite a phenomenal game that probably is going to really divide a lot of people, but might show kind of the next evolution of what a video game can do.
So what do you do as the guy with the controller, though, if you are dead?
Well, you play more than one character.
It will actually kill you.
Oh, that's how they work around it. But it really is more of an interactive story than, you know, oh, I got to do this kind of action combo to be able to bonk somebody on the head. You're investigating a serial killer, and yeah, it's unclear who it is, if it is one of the characters, anything like that. And it's very, very engaging.
Adam, do you run into people in the course of doing your show who are so invested in video games that they've lost touch with reality, that
yes.
they think they live in a game, or they can't relate to anything outside of a game?
Not the former, but the latter. I definitely see it also, as I was saying, with a lot of the fanboys that write in. That
sure.
I like to call it a focus group of one. That if someone thinks that they like something, then that must be true for all other human beings
sure.
out there. And anyone who has a contrary opinion must be crazy.
Right.
And I must be completely wrong, because if they like it, everyone else does, and I have to agree with them.
I listen to your descriptions of these games, and I'm thinking about the hot chick with the hair and the guns in her feet, and I'm thinking how much better that is than real life for most people, you know? And I can see how you would kind of be swayed by that.
Yeah, I mean, video games allow you to solve problems in a more efficient and brutal manner than you ever can or should in real life. And yes, I guess ever so often I get wistful.
First use of the word wistful on the Kevin Abine Show in 2010. All right. Congratulations to X-Play.
Oh,
its 1,000th episode is airing today, and you can kick that off with a marathon of the 10 favorite episodes as voted on by the viewers. Please check out starting at 10 a.m. today on G4 and look for our friend Adam Sessler on the TV. Always great to have you on the Kevin Abine Show, man. Thanks for stopping
pleasure.
By.
Thank you.
How about Harvey Levin, ladies and gentlemen? TMZ.com and TMZ Television. Hi, Harvey. How was your weekend?
It was great. How was yours?
Doing fine. I only regret that I wasn't hanging out with my friend Rip Torn. That would have been the best weekend ever if I could have hung out with that dude.
Well, I think he's got. I think there's an interesting defense here.
Really?
So, you know, the short story that he's arrested at a bank in Connecticut with a loaded gun, the window broken, and depending on the report, we've gotten two. One, that he's wandering inside the bank, and two, that he's trying to sleep. So, you want to know my defense?
Yes.
I do, but before you go on, I just want to let listeners know who may not be familiar immediately with the name. Rip Torn, a very successful actor for 30 years in Hollywood, best known probably for the Men in Black movies, and he played the producer on the Gary Shandling show. He played Larry's producer on that show. Terrific actor. You've seen him in a million things. I wasn't aware that he was having this kind of trouble. What's happening?
Well, no. Do you remember, I don't know, 4 years ago when he was in New York and he was just going crazy in the police station? Do you remember that?
Yes, yeah.
And he was found not guilty in that case. Judge Judy's son was his lawyer, and the jury found him not guilty in about 20 minutes. And that one, it looked like, oh, my God, he's so going to be found guilty. So here's my defense in this one. You ready?
Yeah. All right.
It doesn't look like a bank. It's it's in Connecticut. It looks like a Victorian house. So basically, he should say, look, I had a little too much to drink, and I thought that was my house. And I didn't have my key, so I broke the window and I went in. And I had no intent to steal because I didn't steal anything. The only problem he's got is this whole firearm thing. This loaded firearm is a problem.
Yeah. But, it's an extra charge if you're drunk, too, right?
Yeah, you know, it's an issue. But at least on the burglary, I think he's got a defense.
Look, we've taken calls for years on the Kevin and Bean Show from people who have ended up in the wrong house. They were drunk and they went to their neighborhood,
yeah.
and sometimes not even their neighborhood, and they walked in. I wonder if he could pull that off. I mean, I don't know what the place he lives in looks like or how close it is, but who knows? Maybe that's what really happened.
It's the Calabasas defense.
They have
housing project developments there where all the houses in those developments, a lot of them look the same. So you go
right.
into the wrong house and you wake up in the middle of the night and say, oh, my God.
Yeah. He is not aging well either, by the way.
Well, you know, in all seriousness, I mean, he's clearly having a rough time. But
definitely.
But you know, he was just arraigned, and he was taken into court in handcuffs. I mean, it's really serious, but you just know. I mean, this is not a hardcore burglar for sure.
No.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I want to turn our attention to, let's face it, no one spent more time covering Michael Jackson and his crazy family than Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. I just want to know personally, Harvey, what you think about, now that Daddy's dead, the kids being trotted out on all these TV shows, including speaking up in public in the front of the Grammy audience last night.
I didn't think that was a bad thing. I mean, look, I mean, they love their dad. His legacy is music. And, you know, better that he's remembered for music than all the other stuff that people are talking about. So in many ways, I mean, I think
this is almost, I don't know, I mean, I don't want to be a psychologist here, but it is a little bit therapeutic that it gets back to music, which is, you know, the thing that his dad did the best.
But Michael was so afraid of those kids ever being seen that he used to cover their heads most of the time when they went out, and now they're showing up on national television giving speeches. It's just so weird.
I think it's, you know, I gotta say, I mean, I think it's so nice that these kids seem, you know, well-adjusted and, you know, they're going out, they're doing karate, they're doing kid things. So I don't know. I mean, in some ways, because of the life Michael Jackson led, it kind of got projected onto his kids.
Right.
And these kids seem like they're doing okay.
Are they in their early 20s, or am I just imagining
things? No, they're not in their early 20s.
Okay. That's what it looks like.
By the way, just for the record, I don't know what you guys are saying. I liked the Grammys a lot last night.
What?
I liked them a lot.
What did you like?
I just thought it was really produced well, and I thought the fact that they had a lot of performances, I love Pink. I just thought that was amazing.
Yeah, sure. No, okay. That was the performance of the night. There's no question about
amazing.
That. Her Cirque du Soleil act with the water and everything like that.
Amazing.
Yeah. And we were saying earlier, by the way, no one ever has an excuse to lip sync anymore if Pink can hang from the ceiling.
Yeah.
And spinning around in a circle like that, it was still able to sing. I'm sorry, if Pink can do it, you can do it, kids. That's what we're telling you.
But now my question is, because I wasn't sure, did people get wet below?
Yes, absolutely. The water. Did people get wet from the Pink? Yes, they did, Harvey.
Oh, geez.
No, there was water pouring off of her onto the audience. Absolutely,
pouring.
They did.
Pouring. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I wonder. I would love to have seen the people below, because you know there were some people there who were saying, God bless.
Sure. I'm all dressed up.
Well,
what happened?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Harvey, let me get your opinion on two quick things having to do with the Grammys, too, because we've been debating both of these off the air today. Are you buying into Lady Gaga's ridiculous thing, or do you find it enjoyable, or have you had enough already? Quit trying to be so goddamn weird.
I started out being almost a Lady Gaga hater. I just thought it was so ridiculous. But I am turned around. I mean, I think she's got, like, amazing talent, and I really like her now.
But
I
the
mean,
whole
I,
look
I,
at
turned
me,
around.
I'm dressed like a crazy person, yeah, and I'm going to change four times.
Guys, you know what? Annie Lennox did that, remember? Annie Lennox used to do that.
There are people who turn their personal appearances into an art form, that's for sure. I mean, she definitely isn't boring.
And she's got talent to back it up. That's what I love.
Right. Well, that helps, yes. All right, last question for you, Harvey. And again, I'm just asking for your opinion or maybe what you guys have been talking about in the newsroom today. Taylor Swift, Album of the Year Grammy. Is it well-deserved or is it a travesty?
You know, I don't quite get it, but I don't think it's one of those things that's appalling either. I don't know. I mean, was it Album of the Year in my head? No, but she's really talented. I mean, she's 19. Part of it is, look, you know the way these things work, too. It's not all exactly on the music, that a lot of times it's bigger than that. But the fact is that you guys deal more in music than you guys have probably made more stars than anybody. So you know that it's not just about the music. It's about the package.
Right.
And so
totally.
that doesn't bother me that it didn't offend me. That's for sure. I love the fact that you won so many Grammys that one of them broke. Did you see that?
No.
I saw the picture on your site today. She couldn't hold all four of them in her arms and one of them fell to the carpet and broke.
Broken
I like it. Well, there are some people who said, I don't know, maybe she should be able to sing on key if she's going to win awards like that.
That was
a problem with a lot of people last night.
But Beyonce, did you guys like Beyonce?
I liked her very much, yeah.
I thought she was great. I thought it was real. That was my favorite award show in at least a decade.
That was my least favorite in about a decade.
Really?
Yeah.
Honest to God?
Yeah, because there was a lot of country, and there was a lot of Lifetime Achievement Awards, and then there was country, and then it just, I don't know, there was just no, Green Day was our only band pretty much that performed, and they had to do it with the Broadway cast of their play.
What'd you think of Tom Colbert? I mean, of
Stephen Colbert was the best part of the show, but
he was very funny.
But that was first.
I
thought
he was
funny.
Part of the show?
Yes. There wasn't much comedy otherwise in the show, was there, Harvey? I mean, he was the only one who went out there and tried to tell jokes, I think.
Wow.
You didn't think he was funny?
I think he's really funny, and I was not at all.
How about that?
Susan
all right.
Boyle. You didn't think that was funny.
Well, not with the Susan Boyle one was funny, but, you know, it was the whole thing with his kid and the LaForce nodding.
All right. Next year, we're watching the Grammys with Harvey. We're all going to get together and make it a party. We're out of time. Please go to TMZ.com to keep up with the very latest 24 hours a day online and check your local listings for TMZ Television. Harvey Levin, thanks for coming on the Kevin and Beach.
Bye, guys.
Thank you, Lisa. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 8:56. And it's time for Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat. Hey, Ralph.
Arr!
Why are you howling like a wolf?
Because the Wolfman's coming.
Oh, I can't wait.
Oh, yeah.
Wolfman opens on February the 12th. I've got tickets to the advanced screening of The Wolfman, if you'd like to see it, on Thursday, February the 11th at the Grove here in Los Angeles. If you'd like to attend, 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First five people who get through on that phone line, and you'll be lucky winners of a pair of passes to attend. And I cannot wait.
It looks great.
Looks great.
Dave said, oh, you have tickets for Wolfman.
Wolf, yeah.
I said, really, do I, Dave, have tickets for Wolfman? I feel sorry for Dave. He's kind of sad today. I don't know if you heard or not, but Kristen Bell is officially engaged to Dax Shepard.
Oh.
I didn't.
He's got to be taking that hard.
They have officially announced their engagement, and I can tell he's bummed, but I was like, Dave, are you said, no, she's dead to me.
Wow, that's extreme.
Why? Well, she won't talk to me anymore.
She stopped coming on our show because of him.
Oh, and she didn't say she liked my salt and pepper shaker. So he's trying to hide his broken heart, but he's not doing too good a job.
Yeah.
So they are officially engaged. And I don't know if you heard the rumor or not, but Charlize Theron and Stuart Townsend reportedly have broken up.
Really?
This is according to the Daily Mail tabloid out of England, and they're shaky at best. And it seems like we get this story about once a year about this couple. They've been together for 9 years, so I am hesitant to buy into this. But
however, Ralph, didn't she say, I'll never take this ring off, this is my symbol of my love, and now she's not wearing it? I mean, that was the first time I've seen that angle on the story.
So yeah, but there was one photo of her not wearing the promise ring he had given her, but who knows? Sometimes people don't wear rings. Kevin loses his wedding ring about every 2 weeks.
How dare you.
So, I don't know. I'm hoping it's not the case, because they're really both very nice people, and they seem real happy together. So,
but if it is...
suck it.
If it is, suck it. That's right. My wife said, so are you going to leave me now? I was like, no, I'll probably keep you.
Well, that was reassuring.
Let's wait and see.
Wait and see if there's an option here first before you make a rash decision.
I'm in now. In for a penny, in for a pound. I don't have the energy to start all over again.
With Charlize. Please.
I don't know.
Please.
I don't know.
Please.
No, it wouldn't be so hard to get into a relationship with Charlize, but getting out of the current one,
yeah,
that'd be a lot of work.
A lot of hassle.
Yeah. You got to sell the house and split up everything and money and whatnot.
Charlize.
Bury your body in the desert. I mean, it's just a lot of details.
No. See, unlike you, I wouldn't murder anybody.
Well, that's the cleanest way out, Ralph, is to cut her up and bury her in the desert. We all know that.
There's no divvying up the stuff in the house if you just
that's
married
right.
her.
You guys are just creepy beyond words.
You probably get some life insurance out of it. You might get paid.
Wow.
That's right.
It's a win-win.
You rid of her and you get the life insurance.
Trying to make a profit off of it?
Well,
I can see why you two are in both such happy relationships.
Hey, no one's ever seen my first wife again, I'll tell you that.
All right. If there are any law enforcement officers listening to the show, feel free to come on down.
I'm just saying.
Because we're all creeped out right now. Also, I got a quick email right here from listener Jesse Velez. Thanks for listening, Jesse. Dear Ralph, I just heard during your 8 a.m. Showbiz Beat that it's Sherman Hemsley's birthday today. I just want to remind you that many moons ago, Sherman Hemsley did a commercial for Kevin and Bean for Kevin and Bean Gravy.
Really? He did the commercial for the gravy?
Is there any chance you can find and play that clip before the end of the show in an effort to remind Kevin and Bean what life was like before you arrived?
Back when the show was good.
Sorry, Jesse. I've been looking, and we can't hunt down the Sherman Hemsley Kevin and Bean gravy commercial, but we will keep looking for it, I promise you. And so hopefully we'll have that for you sometime this week, if not today.
We got to get to Kevin of Kevin and Bean Archive. He must have a copy of that. Now, this was
a hot item, by the way. The gravy was a hot item.
Was the listener here says it must have been around 1996, he estimates, when the Kevin and Bean gravy commercial was recorded. So.
Ew.
That's Kevin, 13 years ago?
Yeah. What was the point of the Kevin and Bean gravy? Do you remember?
Nope.
I would love to know the answer to that question myself.
I know Jimmy Kimmel was involved. That's all I know.
Yeah, it was his idea.
What could possibly be the point of Kevin and Bean gravy?
Like, he thought we needed a marketing tool or something, and he thought gravy was the answer. We were supposed to give it away. I just remember we had a lot of meetings with gravy manufacturers. We were talking about cost per can and how much it would cost to put a label on it and all that kind of stuff.
Wow.
We should bring that back. We should bring that back. The gravy was a hot item.
No, it wasn't, obviously.
It was a hot item.
No, it did not live long.
Well, we got Sherman Helmsley to do the commercial, though, so clearly at one point it was a hot item.
The point is that we were able to get Mr. Jefferson. 20 years after his show went off the air, you were able to land him. Well, good point. Movie news. Johnny Depp is returning as Captain Jack Sparrow. We've mentioned before in the fourth Pirates of the Caribbean movie, Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides. However, it is officially confirmed today that neither Keira Knightley nor Orlando Bloom will be back.
Ooh.
Orlando Bloom said, "I had a great time making those movies, but I really wanted to do other things. However, I think the movie will turn out great." So, Orlando Bloom, not going to be in the movie.
I think it'll...
Now they got to find two new actresses to replace Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley film series. I don't know how they're going to do it. Speaking of movies, it is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Avatar continues its triumphant march through history. Seventh week in theaters. It is still number one, making $30 million this weekend.
This is Avatar.
It is Avatar. Edge of Darkness was second. $17.1 million. The new Mel Gibson thriller was number two.
Kevin, you see that? I know you were interested in that one.
No. Busy weekend, but I want to. I'm looking forward to it.
When in Rome with Kristen Bell and her fiance, Dax Shepard, also in that movie, was third. The Tooth Fairy was fourth. The Book of Eli was fifth. Legion, The Lovely Bones, Sherlock Holmes, Alvin and the Chipmunks, The Squeakquel, and It's Complicated, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Celebrity birthdays, Lauren Conrad from The Hills and Laguna Beach, 24 years old today. Michael C. Hall of Dexter fame is 39. Patrick Wilson, drummer for Weezer, celebrates his 41st birthday. Sherilyn Fenn is 45. Exene Cervenka of X is 54 years old. And Sherman Hemsley, the reason we brought all this up in the first place, Mr. Jefferson of the Jeffersons, is 72 years old today. Is Wheezy still around? I think Wheezy's gone.
No, Wheezy's gone. Yeah.
He may be the last Jefferson.
It's a shame.
It is. He'll be moving on down soon. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Highlights from last night's Grammy Awards coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. You know a band that wasn't there? Muse. How about that? Where was Muse? Where were they nominated and they should have been in every single category?
Where was anyone good except for Green Day? Kings of Leon.
Anyway, other than that. Muse coming up also. Green Day on the way and Rise Against. Right now, though, an update from our friend Dua Veed, who you know we have been following very closely since we met him last summer. And Psycho Mike performed a wedding ceremony of him and Clara, his mannequin now wife. Apparently, they've been all over the western United States, and they still can't find peace and happiness, but they are back in Southern California with a new problem. Dua Veed, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hi.
Hello.
I'm so happy.
You're happy. Okay, good. Because
I'm so happy.
Well, that's good, because our producer Alex told us that you were crying last week.
Well.
And she felt really bad for you, so we...
What was done to my wife, Clara, in the state of Washington... The top of her legs is damaged.
Right.
You know, the mechanism that attaches the legs to the top of the top American is held in by four Phillips head screws.
Right.
It was very badly damaged. And the top of her, that same mechanism, has a hole broken up of the size of two quarters.
Right.
I mean, how can people be this horrible?
Well, it's the fact that it's a mannequin and people don't understand your love for it. Maybe.
I don't have to deal with any personality disorders.
Okay.
Not stop, not it hurts, not give me, not I want, not why.
Oh, I see. That's why you love Clara, because she can't talk back.
Yes.
Well, I'm 100% on board with you, David. I mean, look, I don't question that at all. Clara is the perfect woman for you. But I guess what I don't understand is, since she's a mannequin, and since you have to carry her around all the time, isn't it better if she's a little bit lighter and a little bit more mobile? Why don't you just leave her with her legs off?
Well, when her legs, the top of it gets fixed, and I can attach the legs to the top of her body again, I'm going to carry their legs in her travel bag, hooked on with a handle on top of my right shoulder.
Okay.
Now, if somebody says, "Let me see your wife's legs," they say, "Put some money in my hand."
So you think that people will pay you in order to see you put
if they
the
don't
mannequin?
Want to, then you won't see her ballet dance your legs.
Okay.
I mean, she's got such gorgeous legs. Oh, her legs alone drive me wild.
Yeah. Well, I guess I didn't realize you were so fond of that part of her body. All right, so how can we help you, Duavid? What can we do for you to get Clara back together?
Okay. I spoke to a Larry at Acme Display.
Right.
Which makes the mannequins that supplies foreplay born in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
and they said that they do not manufacture or sell parts to mannequins.
Right.
Uh-oh.
So that left me, what did they call it? Out in the cold.
Out in the cold, yeah.
Right.
Now,
right.
Have you thought about getting another mannequin, like maybe a new one, a younger one?
No.
No.
Clara is a mannequin,
right.
But I put a wedding ring on her left hand.
I see.
And that's it.
No okay. Other mannequins for you ever, then?
No.
Okay.
Exactly. I mean, okay. How would it make me look to the female sex if I traded in my mannequin wife for another one?
Well, I got news for you. I think the female sex is probably scared of a guy that would marry a mannequin.
To begin with.
In the beginning.
Anyway, you just want mannequins. Wouldn't you care what the female sex thinks?
That's a good point.
Excuse me?
You're not interested in females, are you? You want your mannequin.
Yeah.
Let me put it to you another way.
All right.
Suppose you had one woman in 48 years, or 46 years,
okay.
61 to 06. How many years is that?
1961, did you say?
1961 to 06. That's
45.
Okay. One woman, I have a photograph of us kissing in front of the judge who married us.
Okay.
At the Beverly Hills Municipal Court by Judge Nancy Claiborne. And she promised two attorneys and four doctors.
Right.
That she would never leave me.
Right. And then that
not
didn't...
Not only did she lie, she did it on the street.
Okay, so you're saying you had a bad experience with another woman, so you're satisfied to stick with a mannequin now. That's the point.
One hurt was enough for me.
Okay. Okay. Right. I don't blame you, man. No, I think that's wise. If one person hurts you, you should write off the entire opposite sex. I totally agree. That makes sense.
You ever heard of these people that go from one relationship to another relationship and get hurt?
That's right.
No, thank you.
No, thank you. But
I think a lot of people would say there's also some joy along the way.
You also what?
Joy, happiness, contentment. No.
In what?
Along the way, with relationships with women.
Oh, really?
I'm just.
Oh, really?
Well, I would hope so. Yeah.
Who is laughing in the background?
Lisa. Me.
Lisa, who's a woman, whose voice doesn't count anyway. All right, look, we're almost out of time, Duavid. We want to be able to help you. The mannequin company says they don't make spare parts. So how can we help you? What else can we do to get Clara put back together for you?
How can I get the part that's on top of her legs, it's held in by four Phillips screws,
right,
replaced, and possibly fix the same part on the top of her?
You need us to figure out a way to put the mannequin back together.
That little part.
Right.
Okay. There has to be somebody out there that works with tools and works with plastic and would be able to manufacture something that would get this job done. Right, guys? I mean, it doesn't sound that difficult.
I agree.
Especially in a city of special effects, of course.
Okay. All right, Duavid, we are putting the plea out there on the air right now. And at some point, we'd like Psycho Mike to come by and take some pictures of Clara that we could then
I got her new hair yesterday. I got her lips made up like a movie star.
Oh, nice.
Great. Very sexy.
We get photographed everywhere.
I'm sure.
All right, well, let's put some pictures up on the website also so people know what we're talking about, what parts we're looking for. That's great.
But they have to have my phone number, our phone number.
They can contact us. We'll take care of the rest. We'll make sure that the connection is made.
Psycho Michael, make sure personally that he comes over and fixes Clara.
Yes, I got a hot-looking wife, and she makes me so happy.
Yep.
Oh, she's the best.
I've never seen a woman anywhere on this earth who comes close to Clara.
I agree.
If only she had legs.
Ballet dancer legs.
Sure.
Her legs alone drive me nuts.
Right.
Yeah.
But not as connected as you would hope. Less connected than you were hoping for.
Well, when she stands on her legs, she looks statuesque.
Right, sure.
Absolutely. All right. Duavid, we have to go. I'm glad we were able to connect with you again.
Thank you.
We are on
the
case.
Thank you for being so sweet to us.
And we'll get back to you, and hopefully we'll get this thing fixed up real quick, all right?
Thanks for being sweet to us.
All right, Duavid. Best
it's
of luck to you,
my
friend.
Home in LA.
Well, it's good to have
you.
All right. Good to have you.
I learned the hard way to breathe in this place.
Right, because you moved to Washington, and then that they made fun of you.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Well, even all right, still on the floor. I learned the hard way to appreciate LA.
Right.
Okay, good deal. We got to go now. Thank you, Duavi.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye now.
Bye-bye.
They threw his wife on the floor.
Ralph has another look at the showbiz beat coming up in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Last night at the Grammys, the big winners were your Taylor Swift, your Lady Gaga, and your Beyonce. Not a lot of what you might call rock music represented on the 3.5-hour telecast.
Yeah, really very little. Green Day performed, but with a Broadway cast of their show.
So that doesn't really qualify.
And the Kings of Leon were there but didn't perform.
Right.
So basically it was just all pretty much rap.
Pop and country.
A lot of country. Just a ton of country. There was just country, and then it was followed by country. And I don't need country. I don't need that in my particular life. Stephen Colbert came out. I thought he was very funny at the beginning.
But I do have, and I want to be serious here for a second, I do have one issue with the Grammys this year. I don't know why Susan Boyle isn't here. She achieved something huge this year. Sure. Justin Timberlake may have brought the sexy back, but this year, Susan Boyle sent it away again. Goodbye, sexy.
By the way, the only thing I can think is that her album must have come out too late to be eligible for the Grammys that were held last night.
Oh, okay.
So I suspect we'll see a lot of Susan Boyle next year.
Next year after the album's long gone?
Good. Exactly. Sure. After we have forgotten why we liked her in the first place.
So right. Taylor Swift was a big winner. She sang, and then they drug out the corpse of Stevie Nicks, who just has had a horrible voice since the day she was born. And they sang poorly this song. I mean, really? Is this necessary?
I appreciate what they're trying to do, which is put together people who never sing together and try to make it a one-of-a-kind event on the Grammys. But
right.
I think you're right. There aren't a lot of people out there who are really dying to hear freaking Rihanna again from 1977.
Yeah.
The only thing I can think is maybe they went to Taylor Swift and said, hey, we'd like to do something cool with your performance. Who would you like to sing with? Who's somebody that's an inspiration to you?
Right,
that
and
would
then
be
they
fun?
Said, we can't get them, but we can get you
we can get Goat Lady,
Stevie
right.
Nicks. So that you don't need that, really. And then Michael Jackson's kids came out, and his daughter, I got to be honest, I don't know what she was talking about, to be perfectly.
Here, Daddy was going to perform this year, but he couldn't perform last year. Thank you. We love you, Daddy.
What? Wait, what?
I think she got a little confused. How old is she?
27, oddly enough. It's really bizarre. Didn't they look like they'd grown up?
Yes.
I don't know.
They were definitely older than I expected them to be. Yes. I think the boy may be like 12 or something, and the girl may be like 10 or something like that. But where's Blanket, by the way? I would like to start a free Blanket kind of chant going on here, because Blanket, nowhere to be found on the show last night.
I don't know that we need more of his kids speaking. I don't think they had the gift of performing like their dad.
By the way, let me just say, I understand why they were doing a tribute to Michael Jackson at the Grammys, because he, you know, won a ton of Grammys and was a huge figure in the music world, and we did lose him last year. I get all that. What a horrible, out-of-focus performance, first of all.
Well,
for those of us who didn't have the 3D glasses.
Didn't have any 3D glasses. It doesn't look good.
Do people just have those at home, just in case?
Well, you could go to Target and pick them up this weekend or something if you wanted to. They were handing them out. But here's my question. Michael Jackson has done 20 great songs. I mean, really, like, first-class, fantastic songs that you love and you can't wait to hear again.
Back in the early days when he was good.
Right. They bring out the freaking Earth song and do this big environmental message with a big voiceover about the losing the rainforest and blah, 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 blah. Like, it's not already sad enough the dude's dead. Now you're trying to bum me out where the Earth is gone, you know?
Yeah.
And what a terrible choice.
They had, like, five
song.
Different peoples that came out and sung, and Celine Dion was one of them.
What's
happening? What was going on? I kept looking at it going, is this year's Grammys?
Celine Dion and Carrie Underwood singing Michael Jackson songs. This is a terrible idea. Don't
what
do that
happened?
Again. Exactly.
Quentin Tarantino came out. For my money, he had the best introduction. He was way, way, way too excited about introducing.
Here, with Blink-182's Travis Barker, behind him on drums, are three men who prove hip-hop is forever.
What is he doing?
Two top winners tonight, Eminem
I don't know.
And Lil Wayne.
Holy mackerel. What's he doing? What is that voice?
I don't know what that was. But then apparently there were some long cuss words. Apparently there were sentences, right? Full of cursing because CBS just decided to drop the entire audio feed for about an hour.
The top gets higher the more that I climb. The spot gets smaller and I get bigger trying to get it where.
That's what it sounded like on the TV.
That was real time. I didn't extend it or anything. That's how long they took out. I don't know what happened.
Man, I did think that I lost my satellite. I really did. I thought something had dropped out.
But I got to tell you, for my money, the best moment of every single Grammys is the president of the Recording Academy, Neil Portnow. He brings it, that guy. Brings the energy.
Please welcome the president and CEO of the Recording Academy, Neil Portnow.
So he starts his 2 hours like this.
As we begin a new decade, the Recording Academy has milestones to celebrate and challenges that lie ahead. But one thing that remains the same is the unwavering commitment of our music community in times of crisis.
All right.
And once again, our talented artists are there all to right. offer help what? And all inspiration right. okay. as the world all mobilizes right. okay. to help the people of Haiti.
All right, I can't understand.
At the Academy, all we're right. thankful for many milestones
getting
this year.
Drowsy now.
Our fantastic Grammy Museum is 1 year old.
Dear God.
Thanks to a generous donation from musical icon Clive Davis, the museum
Seriously, can't anyone say, you're boring, don't talk.
You want people to watch the Grammys, don't be on them. This is what it sounded like. This is real time.
Take my life.
Boring.
All right, Neil. Thank you for your time. All right.
I'm so bored.
Okay, good. All right. Not a fan of you. All right. Okay. We gotta go. Gotta go. Gotta move on. Got things to do. All right. Okay, bye. All right.
Neil, you know what? I have to stop you. This has become boring.
Hey, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, it's Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Avatar, still doing it after 7 weeks at number one, continues to be so. $30 million it made this weekend.
This is Avada.
Wow.
How is that possible?
I don't know. 7 weeks, I mean, I don't remember the last time there was a movie that was number one for more than 2 weeks. And Avatar comes out and just
Titanic
just
was number
wins.
One for like 15 weeks. So it's right. got a while to go before it reaches...
But it's already passed it in money.
But it's already made more money.
Yeah.
Which people tell you, just ask them, it's about inflation and ticket sales and IMAX and 3D and the additional money.
In fact, nobody's gone to see this movie is what I understand the accounting is. So.
Apparently. This movie's a stiff.
Yeah, it's like four people have gone, but it made $2 billion.
A lot on those four people.
Yeah. Edge of Darkness was number two at the box office. When in Rome, The Tooth Fairy, The Book of Eli, Legion, The Lovely Bones, Sherlock Holmes, Alvin and the Chipmunks, and... It's complicated rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Ron Wood, he is in rehab. Legendary Rolling Stone has checked himself into a London clinic after Mick Jagger and some friends and family stopped by and said, okay, you need some help.
It was an intervention.
It was an intervention, yeah. Maybe it's something to do with the fact that he was dating a cocktail waitress that was... I don't know, 21, I think, after he broke up with his wife, and he's 70.
Yeah.
And then she left him because he was too loaded. So that's a bad sign, right? Nicole Richie's in the news. She's getting a new sitcom.
An actual Nicole acting Richie? Job?
Yeah, starring in her own sitcom.
Nicole Richie.
Sitcom. Hi, how are you?
Huh.
About a working mom. Who's trying to keep her life together with all the chaos that surrounds her.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. She's also got a new clothing line. And she says that she is tired of people insinuating that she has a eating disorder.
Then eat.
Even though she is painfully thin in those photographs. Here's the thing. You used to be fat, and now you're painfully thin.
Right.
Not crazy for us to think you might have an eating disorder.
Yeah.
Because you're not naturally thin, obviously.
Unhealthily thin.
Because you're all pudgy before. Yeah. Now what? So she said it's an insult to people who actually have serious eating disorders.
Like her.
Like her. To throw that around. Queen Latifah turns 40 next month, and she can't decide how to celebrate, but she says she thinks she's going to take a 4,000-mile motorcycle ride. Why is Queen Latifah still pestered with these horrible lesbian rumors? I have no idea.
That's a good question.
She's going to hop on her hog and ride 4,000 miles. Maybe for charity.
Yeah.
So, happy birthday, Queen Latifah, to you and your boyfriend. MTV's Jersey Shore is coming back. It's official.
Oh, thank God.
The entire cast is returning. Pauly D, The Situation, Snooki, and JWoww have all signed up for another season of our favorite reality show.
I thought they were going to hold out and quit and all that.
Yeah, me too.
No, they didn't. They held out for $10,000 per. They were being offered $5,000 initially. MTV doubled the offer. A couple of them crumbled and took that offer, and then the rest fell in line. So we're in good business.
Thank God.
No word on where the brand new location will be. Apparently, they're not going back to Seaside Heights. They're going to another part of the Jersey Shore, but
Seaside Heights won't have them back?
Apparently not. They keep beating up too many people on the boardwalk. Too many lawsuits. So we'll have to see where they go. But the show will... And it says here, it's scheduled to air this summer. But I can't imagine how they could do that. Because they would have to film it this summer, wouldn't they?
Well, in an article I saw, it says it will air this summer, so they're taking them away from the frigid Northeast, and that's kind of why they're doing it. So I think they're going to take them to maybe Malibu or Hawaii so that they can film it in the spring and have it ready for summer, or Daytona Beach or something.
Well, it's hardly Jersey Shore then. They'd take them away from the Jersey Shore.
I agree, but I think it makes it a little more interesting because the people in Jersey cater to Guido's. I'd love to see them in a place where they're hated.
Fish out of water kind of thing?
Yeah.
They're not hated, by the way. We talked to The Situation. He said he's never heard
only
a negative
positive,
comment.
Only positive feedback.
Not one negative comment.
Maybe they'll bring him to Santa Monica or something like that.
Awesome.
That'd be awesome. See him roller skating down the Venice Beach boardwalk. Snooki and the guy with the turban with the guitar, you know, getting it on behind a dumpster. I like it. NBC's renewed the sitcom Parks and Recreation for a third season. Even though the show is the lowest rated of NBC's Thursday night lineup, which also features The Office and 30 Rock and Community, it is still in the top 15 of shows watched by 18 to 49-year-olds. So the advertising demographic is attractive enough for NBC to give them another go. So,
all right.
Congratulations to those
guys.
That
show has some very talented people on it. It hasn't fully gelled.
Yes, yet. Again. Good people. Doesn't always equal good show.
Right.
Right. But it has some potential. I'm glad they're sticking with it.
All right. There you have it. And Universal Pictures has announced its release date for the holiday season already. We're looking at for Christmas time.
For Christmas?
Yes. Okay. Little Fockers.
I'm in.
Will be the Wednesday before Christmas is going to be released. We've got a release date for the Little Fockers. It's Robert De Niro, Ben Stiller again. Back together again with the family. The whole family, with the Little Fockers this time.
Could be fun.
Having babies. Opening the same day, Jack Black's Gulliver's Travels.
Yeah.
Where he will be a giant among the Lilliputians, which should be good.
Sure.
And Green Hornet, starring Seth Rogen, the new superhero movie, The Green Hornet.
That's so.
The guy who's allergic to yellow?
He can't. If yellow goes up against him, he can't.
That's the Green Lantern.
Green Lantern.
And his sidekick, Kato.
That's right. Green Hornet and Kato. Okay. Green Hornet is actually a publishing magnate who fights crime at night, along with his sidekick.
But he shoots an arrow.
He's down. That's Green Arrow.
Oh.
Once again, I'm going to give you guys a tutorial.
He has a lamp, right?
He doesn't have a lamp. That's Green Lantern.
Look, it's easy to see why we get confused by superheroes named Green.
It's very simple. Simple. Lantern, Arrow, Hornet, Goblin.
Okay, there's too many. There's too many of them.
Yeah, but common denominator green.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying.
Why
but it's, for, it's in the word. It's in the title. It tells you what they do. Green Hornet stings.
Yeah, but
right? No ring. No lantern. No arrow. Just
but there's
a stinger.
But there's nothing in the names of the characters that you just mentioned that gives you a hint which one is scared of yellow. For instance, how are you supposed to remember which one is scared of yellow?
The fact that one of them is scared of yellow. If Green Hornet has a sidekick named Kato, who's an Asian dude, he's obviously not scared of yellow. Okay? Right?
Yeah.
So just remember it that way. Remember it that way.
So Green Hornet's out. So it's Green Lantern that's afraid of yellow.
He's not afraid of it. The ring has a weakness when it comes to battling yellow. Okay?
Does the ring beat the lantern?
The ring gets its power from the lantern. He recharges the ring with the lantern. Every 24 hours, he has to recharge the ring. It's an impurity in the lantern itself. Yeah. It's parallax being trapped inside the main battery, if you really need to know. But it is the yellow impurity inside the lantern that causes the weakness that Green Lantern, the
Why do you even need a lantern if you have an arrow? I don't even understand that.
Today's celebrity birthdays. TV personality Lauren Conrad of The Hills is 24 years old today. Michael C. Hall from Dexter is 39. Patrick Wilson, drummer for Weezer. You like the Weezer? He's 41 years old today. Lisa Marie Presley, daughter of the King.
Whoa.
Celebrates her 42nd birthday today. Is it creepy for her that her father died when he was 42 years old? Now it's her 42nd birthday. Creepy or not creepy?
Don't know.
Sure.
Okay. Sherilyn Fenn is 45 years old. Exene Cervenka of X is 54 years old today and has never looked fresher, by the way. Exene. She is a dewy flower. Sherman Hemsley. Spokesperson for Kevin and Bean Gravy is 72 years old today, and actor, director, producer Billy Mummy, who starred as Will Robinson in the classic Lost in Space TV series, he's 56 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show. It's Tuesday morning. We are going to talk about a little TV program by the name of Lost, which comes back tomorrow night. Michael Emerson will join us tomorrow morning.
Who in this room is still on with Lost? I am still on board and excited, and I can't wait for this final season. Who's with me?
Way on board. I've been on board the whole time.
I don't want to be on board.
I flagged a little bit season four or whatever it was, but I'm back.
I don't want to be on board, but I have to see how it ends because they're going to wrap it all up nicely, right?
Oh, yeah. 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 Sure. It's really clean and no questions.
We're going to talk to the actor who plays Ben. Okay. Who I believe died because he got stabbed by Jacob. I don't have any
He got stabbed, but we don't know if he's dead or not. He went down to his knees.
Ooh.
We know that much.
Right. So that's tomorrow. Plus, we're going to call Australia. I don't know if you've seen this number, story, but apparently they're banning nudity of A-cup boobs, small boobs.
It's about effing time.
Because
finally, they do something right down there.
Because they want to discourage pedophilia. So they think if pedophiles see small boobs.
Small boobies equal little girls.
Yes.
I see.
Or little boys. I don't know.
That is bizarre.
I don't understand it a bit. But we'll find out tomorrow because we're going to call them. And we always find out everything.
Are they discouraging shaved hoo-has, too?
I don't have the answer.
Good question, Ralph.
Just thinking.
I mean, that's right.
Maybe you have to have the African bush. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or the Australian bush.
Aboriginal
bush, yeah.
So we're going to call and talk to an animal or something? Is that how it works?
Nope. Call in Australia. You're going to talk to the people there.
What do you ask them if that's true?
If it's true, yeah.
Oh, so
what
this
they know
is one of Kevin
it.
Bean's call a foreign country
right.
bits.
Oh, which
this,
always
that'll
works.
That'll be horrible.
Always works. Yeah. And we're going to talk to a listener who is very upset about our disrespect of Groundhog's Day.
Someone
Groundhog
finally.
Day.
Very upset.
Someone finally stood up for Groundhog's Day. That's
you
good.
Guys need to give Groundhog's Day its due.
Yes.
Drives Bean crazy, by the way. He has to correct it.
Hit that S every time, boys.
Yeah, well, because it's Groundhog Day. Because
there's a right and a wrong.
And you celebrate during daylight savings time. That's how I was
on the roadways. All right, listen. Yeah. That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.
An advanced screening of Groundhog Day. I remember I saw that movie once.
Don't go away. Cat Corbett's up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music. How about some new Paramore? We got that for you. Also, System of a Down. We got Muse, Face to Face, Phoenix, and more right after this on K-Rock.